It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm not high in the hills yet, but in about 19 hours I will be. Oh, dear God. Here we are. It's the day before oral surgery day. And yuck. But it has to be done. And the sooner, if 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly. Isn't that from Macbeth? I'm sorry, the Scottish play? I didn't get the word M-A-C-B-E-T-H all the way out of my mouth, did I? Isn't that from the Scottish play, if 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly? Yeah. So, there will be no program tomorrow. There will be no program Friday. That gives me Saturday and Sunday to heal up. I sincerely hope there will be a program on Monday, but it all depends on... I'm not mocking. Well, if I'm mocking, I'm mocking me. Probably, you know. Welcome to Head On with Sylvester the Cat. God. But I want to thank, I want to take a moment to thank everybody who helped out and got us halfway through the crowdfunding campaign. I guess maybe when I get back up to the up to speed again, we'll work on the other half so I can do the implants part. Yeah, but Ralphs, I didn't say the whole word. I think I stopped at Macbeth, and then I realized what I was saying. It's a Scottish play. If 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly. And so here we are. It is the 14th day of April, 2021. We have $300 to raise this evening to stay even, and then God, I don't know when I'm going to get back, but we'll be in a monumental hole by then. That's going to suck a lot. And I've got, because of the fact that y'all, so many people did jump in and we did get halfway funded, I at least have the bills paid out enough that we should be okay through the end of the month at the very least. So thank you all. And every program here at the Horn does begin with gratitude, this program being no different. And so thanks go out to our 14th day of the month subscribers. That means abiding gratitude and thanks to Cecilia. And thank you to Ralphs. Thanks to Matt in San Francisco. Thanks to Khalil. Thank you to Paul. And thank you to David, all of you. Thank you very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. And, well, the program wouldn't exist without you. Just a sec. And so, as I said, extreme gratitude, and we've got $300 to raise, $290 actually. Thank you, David. We've got $290 to raise, and that will bring us current for this week. I was lucky. Received a shipment today of my very favorite pepperoni rolls in the world, Country Club Bakery up in Fairmont, West Virginia. And that means I've been enjoying Country Club Bakery pepperoni rolls for lunch and dinner because God knows they're wonderful and I adore them. And that's going to be my sort of celebration of the end of solid food for a while. Mmm, applesauce, yum, yogurt. Mashed potatoes and everything. I have several cans of gravy. I don't know if you can work it to where you get. Never mind with the straw. But I'm not pissing and moaning. I'm just not looking forward to this. I'm just so not. Hi, I'm Robin. And we're going to do a front porch this evening, since this will be the last conversation for a while. God, I'm going to miss you guys. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa and to Sparky for generating the front porch code. If you want to participate in Wednesday on the front porch, then just bebop on over to headon.live, and there's a big button at the top, and just click it, and there you'll be. And we'll get that going in about 54 minutes or so. If you'd like to augment your live listening experience, then by all means, pop on over to headon.live and click on chat room, and you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers Jessica in Minnesota. Hi, Jessica, and Squeaky. Hi, Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen on this Northern California afternoon not to fold space and, in fact, to remain just, well, not just, but to remain Sparky and capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. This would ordinarily be a prayer meeting Wednesday, but it's not. We will do more typical, more ordinary, or everyday kind of news and discussion this afternoon. And, as a sort of carryover from Moran Monday, well, thank you, Lee. You're so kind. It's nice to know you care. Lee in New York noting, going to miss the community? To help fill in the gap, I can continue sending my usual spam emails. Well, bless your pea-picking heart. Thank you. Let me refresh the page here. Yep, there's the Wednesday on the front porch button. Good. Just had to check on that. Like I said, as an extension of Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday, I thought we might get started with some idiocy from, of course, a maggot. But before that, take note of something. It is a historic day. And Matt in San Francisco sent a note. Subject line, war. I've often thought one of the sexiest things a man can do is clean the house. That song, War, with a strong pacifist leaning, is super hot. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. With President Biden's announcement today, I'm starting to think I'm going to have to increase my panty dry cleaning bill. Yeah, a little damp. Oh, goodness me. But it is historic, and it is so much the right thing to do. Once again, how surprising to find out that all of us extremely, extremely ideologically pure progressives were wildly wrong about President Joe Biden. And I've never been prouder to say I was wrong than I am in this moment. Because today, President Biden announced that the United States will be out of Afghanistan by the 11th day of September, 2021, the 20th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center and on the Pentagon and on a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I'm not kidding. I read the news when it broke, and it didn't take but a few seconds before some tears to fall from my eyes. All the waste, all the futility, all the stupidity of people who thought that they were absolutely brilliant, who thought that, well, you know, the Greeks couldn't do it, the Romans couldn't do it, the British couldn't do it, the Russians couldn't do it, but hey, we're Merca. We can conquer Afghanistan, the place where empires go to die. It only took us 20 years to smarten up, but we're there, and we're getting out. America's longest, most foolhardy war. I think it qualifies as being most foolhardy because we weren't in Vietnam as long as we were in Afghanistan. That was foolhardy, too. But we're getting out. And so, between now and September 11th, 2021, hopefully, none of the people who were born after September 11th, 2001, and who have nonetheless gone to that hellhole in Central Asia and died. Hopefully no more. It would be wonderful, but it seems almost too much to hope for. That no more will die. No more Americans will die in Afghanistan. And hopefully we won't hellfire missile with a drone flown by some pimply-faced kid outside Las Vegas. Any more wedding parties in Afghanistan? We gather together on this joyous day. Duck! Hopefully not. And I'm sure this is already causing right-wing heads to explode. And I haven't seen it yet, but there's every possibility in the world that Nitwit Nero will issue a statement saying, it was my idea. He's just copying me. Teacher, Joe Biden's copying me. Oof. Oh, yeah. Ralphs points out, I'm pretty sure the military-industrial complex are crying buckets. No doubt. And we'll get into that, maybe talk about it some more during the front porch portion of the program. Interesting piece of trivia. Longest war? Maybe longest foreign war. But as Lee in New York points out, over at electoralvote.com, someone posted, incidentally, the actual longest war in U.S. history, whether the good people at Wikipedia recognize it or not, is the war between the U.S. government and the Apache Nation. That war was not declared, but most aren't, including Afghanistan and Vietnam, from 1849 to 1886, a period of nearly 37 years. There were unceasing hostilities between the two parties, with never more than 3 months passing between engagements. Mm-hmm. And it calls to mind something that got lodged in my brain as a youngster, watching television and an ad from Time Life Books. Somewhere in these Chiricahua Hills, the Apaches buried Cochise, the greatest of their great chiefs. No white man will ever know where. Now, from Time Life Books comes The Old West, where you can learn about that as well as... Oh, what was his name? A man so mean he once shot a fellow just for snoring. Call now. But, yes. So, perhaps Afghanistan would be America's longest foreign war. Then again, you know, the rich have been at war with the poor in this country from almost the very beginning, from the very arrival of white conquerors from Europe. So, there's that war, too. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Wait a second. Subject line, miss us. I'm still curious, says Jeremy in Vermont, to see how you feel about us after you've been given the truth serum, if Agnes doesn't pull all your electronics immediately. Could we get a Casey Kasem level freakout response? Are you kidding? I love you guys. All of you. Each and every one. Well, you know, except the assholes. Then you know who you are. No, I don't think we've got anything to worry about in that regard. I tend to get a little sweary under anesthesia, so that's one of the reasons I'm going to an oral surgeon that I've known for 40 years, because, well, he'll understand. You know, we've gotten a little sweary over the years on a few occasions. So, now, just to let you know, tomorrow, the appointment is at noon, and they're usually pretty prompt about getting people in and out. Last food, for all intents and purposes, at midnight or earlier. And I'm going to try to load up with, like, proteins and stuff so that maybe I won't have some sort of low blood sugar event. That would suck a lot. But anyway, Robin, the right stuff. If you're into American history on any level, then early to mid-April is one of the most interesting months in U.S. history, beginning with April 8th, with the United States Senate passing the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolishing slavery in 1864. On April 9th, 1865, Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox after a civil war that had killed over 500,000. Yeah, but Jeffrey wants to be civil, and I have a message for Giraffrey here in a minute. Jeffrey wants to be civil. Why in the hell do they call it the Civil War? Hell, it seemed like the most uncivil behavior in any country could embark upon, and for what purpose? The country did lose 500,000 citizens, which in perspective was much greater than the 500,000 this country has lost during the Dondemic. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Well, hold on a minute. The United States lost something over 300,000 people in that war, in the military. And the traitors lost about 300 or so thousand. So the United States did not lose 500,000 people. People who were fighting the United States had renounced their American citizenship, you know, by taking up arms against the United States of America. So we have to keep that, straight, as it were. There were only approximately 31 million residents in this country in 1865, and this country has over 10 times that many citizens now. Thank God Joe Biden became president, because had Trump remained president, we might be approaching percentage-wise the same deadly numbers we experienced during the Civil War. Yes, the Trump herd immunity plan would have left potentially 10 million people in this country dead, and to think there are still people who think Trump is still president, or should be, reaches the height of incivility. Thank you, Jeffrey. Good points all. Two wrongs don't make a right, and two rights made an airplane, but three lefts do make a right. Jeffrey has an angle. After listening to the conversation on the show last night, here's my geometry. I only need one right, because one right gives me a very good angle on things. Right, brother. Or should I say right, brothers. You asked for it, Robin. By the way, Jeffrey knows his rights. And knowing his rights, he has more righteous thoughts. Yes, and speaking of rights, it appears the 20-year-old Dante Wright, the man who lost all his rights, including the right to live and pursue happiness after a Brooklyn Center, Minnesota cop shot him dead, will posthumously have his rights represented in a court of law as the DA has filed a manslaughter charge on Bonnie Fife Potter. Bonnie Fife. That was quality. the cop who really messed up when she mixed up her stun gun with her revolver. I'm a giraffe, but that sounds like a... Thanks, Warren. Yes, I'm only a giraffe, but the claim that she mixed up her stun gun with regular with a regular semi-automatic pistol just sounds like a cop-out to me. Yeah, I think Jeffrey got that one right. And what is it, second-degree manslaughter? On April the 10th, which would have been 4 days ago, 1865, President Lincoln gave his last public speech at the White House, and today, the 14th, is, of course, the eve of his assassination at Ford's Theater 156 years ago. I can only ponder the question, are black men and women really free after all the attempts of Trump and his lowly maggots to roll back all the civil rights of African Americans? Are black people really free? And are we not in a civil war today with nearly half the country not willing to take the vaccine because they believe the government has a nefarious plan? I find it ironic that there is an incredible irony between John Wilkes Booth and the insurrectionists that stormed the Capitol on the 6th of January, with the irony being that both Booth and the maggots believed they were engaging in a patriotic duty and would be hailed as heroes if they completed their mission. Yeah. Jeffrey wraps things up. Hailed as heroes? These people are not being hailed, and they should all be jailed. Booth, along with his accomplices, wanted to assassinate the Vice President, Andrew Johnson, and the Secretary of State, William Seward, but attempts on those lives failed, and thankfully so did the attempts of the maggots to assassinate the Vice President, Speaker of the House, and many members of Congress. If not for the failure of the maggot insurgents, democracy might have died that day. Indeed, Giraffery, indeed. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 14th day of April, 2021, with Giraffery having some serious civil thoughts about civil rights. And so there is a $25 cop-out challenge on the table. Thank you to Joey and Giraffery for that. And if met, that will get us down to 240 to go. Wait a minute. No, that'll get us down to 230. Thank you, Michael. Michael jumped in and got us further down the road on the last day of fundraising, the last program here at the Horn for several days at the very least. It just creeps me out. I don't like it. Don't like being away. And there will be no truth serum. Stop it, Jeremy. Stop it. But I said there was some information. There was a note for Giraffery. It came from No. Okay. Yes, important giraffe news for Giraffery. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, but wait, Rothschild giraffes? Oh, dear. We know that name drives the maggots crazy. Wow. This is a real story from Live Science. Mom and baby giraffe, trapped on a sinking island, rescued, in months-long operation. Ngarikoni and baby Noel were the last of nine giraffes to be rescued. And the author, Mindy Weisberger, of this article at Live Science, apparently shares a penchant for punnery along, maybe it's an interest in giraffes, maybe it's a giraffe thing. But she writes, how do you save a herd of giraffes that are trapped on a rapidly sinking island? Float them to the mainland on a custom-built barge. Giraffed, if you will. And that's how a month-long giraffe rescue operation in Kenya recently concluded on April 12th, delivering the last of nine stranded giraffes to safety, according to a statement by Save Giraffes Now. I did not know such an organization existed, but I'm awfully glad that it does. An American nonprofit organization that partnered with conservationists in Kenya to relocate the giraffes. They were members of a highly endangered subspecies called Rothschild's giraffes. That's Giraffa camelopardalis rothschildi. Had been living on Longacharo Island in Kenya's Lake Baringo since 2011. But rising waters repeatedly flooded their habitat, and conservationists, concerned that the giraffes could no longer find enough food on the island, decided to evacuate them. Kenya's Northern Rangelands Trust posted on Facebook back in December 2020, water levels in Lake Baringo have been rising for some time, but in 2020, the rate of rise increased, flooding coastal homes and businesses and threatening the survival of the giraffes. And so that's when they started the giraffe evacuation, or the giraffe. And my goodness sakes, they designed and built a giraffe barge with tall, reinforced sides. It was buoyed by 60 empty drums, towed by boats. And, you know, I can imagine a giraffe would not be. So what they did is they parked it on land and let the giraffes, they just left it open. You know, it's kind of the whole Buddy the Beefalo approach to giraffe rescue. They parked the trailer on land. They left it open. The giraffes walked in. The giraffes walked out. The giraffes got used to it. And once they were familiar with the giraffe, because they're calling it the giraffe, one at a time, they took them out of the flooded area to a 44,000-acre Ruco Conservancy about a mile across the lake from the island. The first passenger was a female giraffe named Asiwa, and she'd been separated from the rest of the herd. And they took them up across one by one, two by two, maybe, until this past Monday, they got a female named Ngarakoni and her baby Noel, who was born at the end of December, and thus was the journey finished. And they were happy when they got off the boat. I know that feeling. One young giraffe named Susan fairly leapt off the raft. The photograph I'm looking at, she looks so very happy. The population of Rothschild's giraffe, by the way, have dwindled by about 80%. Arguably one of the most imperiled giraffe subspecies. They used to be widespread across Kenya and Uganda and southern Sudan. There's only about 3,000 who remain in isolated populations in Uganda and Kenya. David O'Connor, the president of Save Giraffes Now, said, "With giraffes undergoing a silent extinction, everyone we can protect matters, making this an important step in supporting the survival of this species." I like happy news. I love happy stories. And goodness, baby giraffes? Yes, absolutely. That's just lovely. Oh, Ralphs is in on it now. Will the giraffes go to Jurassic Park? Oh, gnar. And Cowbell says, billable Rick for giraffery having the right angle and three lefts make a right. Yeah. God. The things that happen on this program. Giraffery rescue plan, billable Rick says, it's amazing the lengths that people will go to save giraffes. Lengths, yeah, I know. By the way, what do you get if you cross a giraffe with a lawyer? The long arm of the law. Or neck. The long neck of the law, maybe. Okay. That's a very weary llama there, billable.
is.
No, I was Jurassic Park. Oh, dear God. I mentioned that we would start with some a carryover from Moran Monday or Titanic Tuesday. They can't all happen in order or on Mondays and Tuesdays. There's just too much right-wing Moranity for anyone. And so we check in at a Senate Judiciary Committee meeting today, a hearing, for Kristen M. Clark. Now, she's been nominated as Assistant Attorney General, I think, for civil rights. And John Cornholio, that titanic, bungling intellect given to us, foisted upon a weary nation by the people of Texas, well, he found something in Ms. Clark's background that gave him pause. Kristen M. Clark is, of course, an African-American woman, so John Cornyn, being a Republican, naturally despises her. Because Republican. I'm going to have some more Texan Republican bigotry and stupidity in a minute. And she has a long history of battling for civil rights. And back when she was 19 years old and a student at Harvard, she wrote something. And it was a column for, I guess, the Harvard Crimson. And John Cornyn, well, John Cornyn was concerned, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Clark, Martin Luther King famously said that he had a dream of the day when his children would be known by the content of their character and not...
Yeah, of course. The only quote from Dr. King that Republicans ever know, the judge a person by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. You know this is not going to end well, right? Mm-hmm.
Not the color of their skin. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, Senator.
Well, maybe there's a misprint, but I'm sure you can clear it up for me.
Oh, she's going to clear it up, Cornholio. She's going to clear the decks and, well, hand you your head. Is this yours?
Dating back to your days in school when you seemed to argue that African Americans were genetically superior to Caucasians.
No, she didn't. Oh, my God. How did she get past the vetting process? She's a, wait for it. The flag is falling. The Republic is in peril. Dear, sweet, fake, baby, white Jesus. She's a black supremacist. No, no, say it ain't so. Well, he's got her. John Cornyn, he's got her. She once wrote that African Americans are racially superior to Caucasians. Can't you just envision? There's my bottled water. It really is. It's bottled water. Can't you just imagine the excitement of John Cornholio's eager young staffer, young white supremacist that he or she is? And they get wind of a damning piece of writing by young Kristen Clark, outing herself as a black supremacist, running, eyes fairly sparkling to the boss, to Senator Cornholio, the second most powerful Republican in the Senate of the United States. Senator, I done found it. I got the smoking gun. Calm down there, Ephraim. What do you got for me? Looky here. That Kristen Clark that you don't like, she done writ when she was 19 years old that black people was better than white people. By God, son, you've really found it. Oh, we will destroy her nomination with this, son. Oh, you have a future. You're one of the clever ones. Oh, I can't tell you how proud the folks down at the Clavern are going to be when I tell them about this. Yeah, I know.
Back to your days when in school when you seemed to argue that African Americans were genetically superior to Caucasians. Is that correct?
No, Senator. That I believe you're referring to an op-ed that I wrote at the age of 19 about the bell curve theory.
Oh, my God. The bell curve. You know, that noxious book that got so much attention back in the day. That argued that, you know, black and brown people are just genetically inferior and incapable of learning as compared to the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, white people. Yeah, that bell curve. Yeah, stand by. Okay, turns out I've got a little home improvement thing I have to do here in a second, but we're going to finish with Senator Cornholio first. Mm-hmm. She's a black supremacist, that's what she is. I wonder if she had any mean tweets. I wonder if Joe Manchin's going to scuttle her nomination. Or maybe Joe Manchin doesn't realize, oh dear.
This book that equated DNA with genetics and race. As a black student at Harvard that time, we took grave offense to this book. It was co-authored by a Harvard professor. We did a number of events to speak out against the book, and this op-ed opened with a satirical reference to the statement that you just noted.
What? Satirical? God damn it, Ephraim! Can't you read no satiricals? Didn't they teach you about the satiricals down there at Busted Knuckle State University in Busted Knuckle, Texas? God damn it, son! You done left me with egg on my face.
Contemporaneous reporting by the campus paper made very clear that this was not a view that I espoused. What I was seeking to do was to hold up a mirror and put one racist theory alongside another to challenge people as to why we were unwilling to wholly reject the racist theory that defined the bell curve book.
So this,
You know, it's kind of like when a Native American wears a T-shirt for their favorite football club, you know, the Washington Whiteys.
This is satire?
Absolutely, Senator.
And where was that published?
In the student paper, the Harvard Crimson, and there's contemporaneous reporting from that time, from that day, that makes clear that these were not views that I espouse, Senator.
Damn it. She got me.
Yeah, but there it is. There it is.
Because you have to understand the sickness of the Republican mindset. They desperately want to believe that there are black supremacists out there because there's just so goddamn many Republican white supremacists. There has to be balance.
You know, we need some balance.
Oh, God. Where's the bipartisanship? I wonder if there's a conversation taking place in Joe Manchin's office right now. Anyway, I have to take care of a domestic house problem. Wasn't planning on it, but I gotta. So, I'll tell you what. The easiest way to handle this, instead of having a bunch of dead air, if you would please, Sparky, connect, and we'll get the front porch going a little earlier than expected. And y'all can talk amongst yourselves, and at least we won't have some vast expanse of dead air during the while I go to sort out whatever this issue fucking is. So I'll wait for Sparky to hit the button, and Sparky has hit the button. And let's see here. Are you there, Sparky? Sparky may just now be. Oh, I hear a little noise. There's Sparky. I hope. There he went. Okay. Now, basically, what it boils down to is.
I had to kill my background noise.
Oh, okay. Okay. No worries. Well, I have to go and find out which breaker they just blew. So that'll be, shouldn't take too long, I hope.
And you know how to do that?
Yeah, I know how to do that. And I'll have the microphone closed and muted in case there's any screaming involved, but there shouldn't be.
Look for the one that's halfway.
I know. It's just that there's so many that are. Because the wiring's so screwed up in this house. Yeah, turn it off, turn it back on.
Turn it back on.
Right. Okay.
Robin?
What?
He's got to go fix a circuit, reset a circuit breaker.
And I'm sure, I don't know if Steve from Georgia stands in the room, but I know Steve's probably typing, call the guy. Hopefully I won't have to call the guy.
I am the guy.
You are the guy. Wait a minute. The guy is pre-called here. Okay, so please, the talk or something so I can go and do this real quick. Stand by. I'll be right back.
Rick, what are you up to, man?
Oh, just plugging away here, you know. That's the main thing. It's been kind of cloudy the last couple of days here. It's just finally now clearing up a bit. But, you know, it was cold yesterday morning. Got out early and hit the course, and it was pretty chilly, rainy, and couldn't hold on to the club. I had to, like, constantly towel it off, you know. So it was a challenge, you know.
You poor thing.
I know. I know. I still did okay though, considering.
I can't go outside because of my allergies.
Okay.
So I did my taxes today.
Oh, good. That's always fun.
And I'm getting a refund this year since they didn't send me the $600.
That's good. Good for you, man. Excellent. Yeah, I won't be having a refund. I'm actually probably going to just wait till May 17th because they extended it this year on account of coronavirus. So the time to file and the time to pay isn't until May 17th. So I'm putting it off just a bit more here. What the heck, you know? Why rush it?
Yeah, but me being stuck in the house today with this wind and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I decided, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah, why not? So when do you... go ahead, what are you saying?
I kind of figured I was getting a refund anyway since they didn't send me the $600.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have had to pay about the same amount I paid last year.
There you go. There you go. Probably not a ton of money, but you know, it's better not to owe if you can help it. You know.
No, with the standard deduction takes my income way down.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I itemize because I have a house, and you know, that's the main. You know, house and alimony are the two main adjustments or deductions I get. So.
I thought they
cut. Yeah. Yeah.
They took,
yeah.
Cut that out.
No, not if you got in under the wire. If you judgment of dissolution under the wire before December 31st of 2018, you can still elect to deduct it. So, and it's income to the other spouse. But I think starting January 1st of 2019, alimony was eliminated as the adjustment or deduction. So yeah.
Oh, I forgot about your divorce. I was thinking you're just paying interest on the house.
No. I do have mortgage interest and, you know, the property taxes and state taxes, but it's limited to $10,000 of tax payments. So, I only get to claim some of the state tax I pay, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes, you know.
Wife and I have found out that the standard deduction was better for us this year than itemizing our home mortgage interest and the rest of that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, was that in part because of the limitation on the deductibility of state and local taxes, or was that just another, was that not related to that?
It's partly related to that, not being able to deduct the state and local taxes as much as you used to.
Yeah. How are things up in Oregon, Roger?
Well, nice and warm today. I lost some tomato plants about, 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago to frost. But I think that's over. I just got back from helping the kid with the last finishing touches on the greenhouse before we pull the plastic on Saturday. And was planning on just listening to the Wednesday meeting with my headphones. And I walk in to find my earbuds and all that to get set up, and I discover there's a Skype call going on. So I checked in, and it turns out it's just like the three of us or so.
Yeah, it'll probably get more populated, I imagine, as the day goes on, hopefully.
So what's happening with the regular show? I wasn't listening.
Right now?
Yeah.
Bob has got a circuit breaker that tripped in the house.
Yeah.
You had to go reset it. Now, if it was still tripping, he'll probably come back for advice.
He definitely has the right man on the line, that's for sure. The guy. You are the guy. So have you guys had any rain lately, Sparky and Roger, or not? We got a little smidgen.
We've had some drizzlies, but the ground that got disturbed last year to build the flats for the greenhouse, that red clay is cracking and it's dry, and we're in a fire advisory right now here in Oregon, and
wow. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, this north wind here is not helping. It's drying everything out quick.
No, definitely doesn't. Yeah. Oh.
So are we going to have a back porch on Friday so that all those of us that have gotten into the habit of sitting around drinking beer and bullshitting like we used to do at the tavern, are we going to have that on Friday?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And it will be starting at 2 o'clock.
At 2? All right.
Yeah, because it'll just be us, not the radio listeners.
Yeah, it won't be the regular program.
So anybody that's listening today can come join us and talk on Friday.
Yeah. Maybe we can put a link on Robin's page to click for Friday in front of some porch.
Friday on the back porch.
Friday on the back porch, right? Yeah, we should maybe do that.
Yeah, I already plan on it. And
Okay.
And so everybody should know that it's going to be a link on the website.
Good. Steve was saying he was going to try and get in touch with ASA to put the banner on the page.
Oh, okay.
Well, I get in touch with him every week anyway, so I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. You folks carry the big stick, so you can deal with all that shit. I'm just a flunky.
Yeah, I developed the link, and then I send it to Asa in Skype, and then he posts it. Oh, Steve says he's waiting on a business call. That's why he's not in the room.
You know, I bought some lettuce starts and a couple of cilantro starts and the rest of that kind of stuff, so I got to get my butt out to the garden sooner or later, or wait till tomorrow to do it. Shit, there's no real rush. But I've got my peppers all are nice and sprouted in their 4-inch pots. Have my hoops for the little greenhouse over the raised beds. I'm getting into it this year again.
So I'll be right back.
Be sending Robin some more getting into it this year hot sauce. I just picked up an echo. Now it seems to be gone. So, any more golfing, Rick?
That was my fault. That was my fault, guys. I joined. I still had the other thing on.
Well, what happened?
How's everybody?
I'm fine. But Rick and Duncan were carrying on an incredible conversation, and then Duncan said he had to go do something.
Let Grady out.
All of a sudden, Rick seemed to disappear.
So. I had to let Grady out. Chris knows what that's like.
Yeah, well, doggies is doggies, and you got to take care of them.
Yeah. I got this one out here. Let's see. I'll put the photo in the chat. I can't zoom it.
Don't you have a fenced yard now, so you can just let the dog out, right?
Exactly. I love it. There she is.
Go through the window.
Yeah. She's keeping an eye on me while she's laying in the grass.
Oh, yeah. Grady likes to do that, too.
Because I'm still working.
Looks like you put some new posts in on the fence.
Well, those, actually, that's the old fence. That's not even the new fence. What I did is I built the new fence to match the old fence. Now, the old fence is quite faded. That's all the gray.
Yeah. But I'm just saying those posts.
Color. Yeah.
Those posts look new.
Yeah. I mean, that fence is pretty new. It's not the brand new fence when I just moved in November. So is it nice and sunny down there, Roger, today?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful day.
It's been sunny all week here.
Temperature's probably up to 70 right now. We got a gentle wind blowing. When I went down to Cottage Grove today to help the kid, I didn't even take a jacket with me because I knew it would be nice and warm compared to. I mean, I've been down there working where you need a down jacket to be comfortable.
Well, hell, what was it? Just a couple of days ago, there was a ton of frost on the ground. You were talking about your tomato starters and bye-bye. You had to kiss those goodbye, huh?
Yeah, but that I'm sucks. About ready to put in some new ones and keep a real close eye. And if the weather forecast says anything under about 38, I'll turn the electric heater on inside the tunnel and make sure it stays warm.
Smart man. You know, I mean, April, May, anything can happen here, right?
Well, yeah, and the conventional wisdom of the people down here that garden say don't even bother to put tomatoes out till Mother's Day.
Right.
But that's too late for me. I've got to get them in earlier.
Now, this is a different, climate or what zone, right? Zone, a growing zone than Chicago. But that Chicago, you could basically count on that rule every year.
Yeah. Well, now, I think that thing about Mother's Day is if you're going to put them out with no protection whatsoever.
Yeah.
Out just in the garden kind of number. Right. I mean, I'm not going to put the four melon plants I've got started out because I can't greenhouse them. And they just have the first two leaves on them right now. I'm going to wait for them to branch out a little bit more and give them the time just because I don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
Be my first time growing melons, so. Everything's new when you change climates.
You can't beat that. What's that?
Everything changes when you change climates.
Yes.
And the growing climate here is very, very different than it is over on the coast of Northern California.
Well, and every year it's just going to be a slightly different climate. We don't even have to move anywhere.
That's true. I mean, down there in California, I couldn't even grow tomatoes. I mean, I could grow cherry tomatoes, but that was it. I mean, any hamburger tomatoes, forget it. The coast never got warm enough. I mean, hell, a hot day was 65. Whereas here,
all fires every year now. I mean, the wineries are got to be going apeshit.
Well, that and the pot growers, because when the smoke comes in, it cuts back on the amount of sunlight hitting the ground, and delays everything. Not let alone all the smoke residue on the fruit.
So is it safe to say that the smoke is bad for the smoke?
Smoke already smoked.
Yeah, the smoke is bad for the smoke.
It's kind of like ABC gum.
Are you back on the regular air, Bob, or are you just talking with us?
No. I'm here. Apparently, the problem is among other things genetic. Because after searching and searching, I looked at the boy and said, "Son, there's no breakers blown." He went, "Huh? Well, the TV won't come on." And I said, "Is that TV just perhaps plugged into a power strip?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah." I said, "That's what blew."
The power strip is bad. How old is that power strip?
Oh, God. Angel. No, it's just got a breaker on it. And the breaker went, yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Did it reset?
Oh, yeah, it reset. No problem.
TV, come on.
TV's on.
What's he watching?
I think they put something on for the baby.
Oh, okay. So the baby's still there?
No, they just came in. They just came to visit today.
Oh, nice.
Oh, she's sweet as can be.
I remember the story. She sounded like a complete sweetheart.
Oh, just a doll, an absolute doll. And so Lucy, little Lucy Purr Morning Paw had to run in to see her. And she looked down. She said, "Pretty cat." Yeah. Lucy Purr said, "Yes, I am."
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Cat stories. Terrible.
Cat and babies.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
I remember a long time. You remember Bloom County, the comic strip?
Yeah.
Living in the country?
No, Bloom County.
Oh.
And, you know, they had the little newspaper, and the cub reporter, I think it was Milo maybe, ran in and said, "I got a picture. It's of a little girl with an ice cream cone." And the editor's eyes get bigger and bigger, feeding it to a squirrel. And the next panel is just him, the editor, screaming at the top, "Run it!" Good for circulation.
Nice.
I saw my first squirrel of the year running down the street yesterday.
Why were you running down the street, Sparky?
It's a squirrel. I'm not a squirrel.
Was it wearing a John Britovo squirrel t-shirt?
No.
I guess not.
John Britovo has a ceramic squirrel in his set.
Squirrel.
What'd you think of his Friday post with the tropical background?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's, yeah. I need some tropical background.
Well, yeah. I don't know what Travis does to do that, but.
Green screen, I think. It looks like Travis has mastered the fine art of green screen.
Yeah, it'd just be a green screen behind John and then insert whatever you picture you want to. At least with Zoom, that's the way it's done. You upload a picture and you hang a green screen and then you insert the picture, and what isn't taken up by the human body gets covered by the picture.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, I misnamed the eager young assistant of Senator Cornyn earlier. Matt in San Francisco has corrected me. Ephraim? No. Matt says, I'm sure his name was Brent or Blaine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Had to be. Darlene in Connecticut wrote in and said, it's a fucking critique, Senator. You know, just like Amy Covid Barrett did. It was okay for her, wasn't it? Well, I mean, she was critiquing the right thing. So there's that. But anyway, we've crossed over into the second hour of the program. We would be starting the front porch conversation just now, but thanks to our little electrical not a crisis, you know, we've gotten going. What did I miss? As people say when they, you know, I just tuned in. What did I miss?
Weather stories, a golf story, my allergy story, my tax story. And dog stories.
Wow, you packed a lot into those 10 minutes.
And Roger's green thumb.
Well, yeah, naturally. Yeah, I guess it's I put the headphones on just as Roger was saying how beautiful it was out there. It's 69 in the studio here and gray and rainy right now, but I did get out long enough to get my little walk to the rim of the gorge in, took some pictures, and God, I love the red buds. They're just so gorgeous this time of year.
Do you have elderberries where you are?
No. Well, yes and no. Not around here that I'm aware of, but I do know they grow here.
Well, yesterday afternoon, one of the reasons I wasn't in the chat room or anything is I was taking an a Zoom meeting dealing with hard to process fruits, and elderberries came up on them, and I was really interested to find out that the problem with elderberries and the reason you don't want to eat them raw is because of the cyanide. And not only that, but the cyanide is very much concentrated in the stems and such, and so you have to make sure you de-stem them all, but the cyanide gas is relatively volatile, and so when you heat up the berries to make the juice, the cyanide gas escapes into the atmosphere, so if you're in an enclosed kitchen, I would not advise it.
Damn, I had no idea. Now, elderberries have been a big thing with the advent of the pandemic, of course. I've got some elderberry syrup in the fridge. It's tasty. It's nice. But the best use of elderberry I ever found was something that an old gentleman that I knew many, many years ago who has since passed on, he would make it every year and bring it out at a party he would throw. This is how I found out that the first Saturday in June never rains. He would bring out elderberry blossom wine, Roger. Not elderberry wine, elderberry blossom wine.
Well, I don't know the cyanide level in elderberry blossoms, because that wasn't addressed. But, I mean, I knew some things are poisonous and all that, and I knew elderberries, you had to treat them right, but I didn't know why. But it turns out it's cyanide.
Well, I think I'll probably steer clear of elderberries then, because, you know, if it can be screwed up, there's a good chance I'll do it.
Well, but you also got to realize that the cyanide gas has a very low volatility point. It's right around there with alcohol. You heat up alcohol to a simmer in a saucepan, and all the alcohol dissipates quickly. Well, apparently the cyanide does too. But so if you make a elderberry syrup, which you heat to dissolve the sugar, or you do them in preserves, that would probably be good. You know, you had to get rid of the cyanide. But if I were to do anything with elderberries, I think I'd do it in my outdoor kitchen. You know, do it on the
yeah,
two burners.
Where the, wind can carry it away and you stand upwind.
Yeah. Yeah. Because cyanide's not something you want to play with. I mean, there's a special room in San Quentin where they concentrate cyanide gas, and I don't want to become the statistic. Of course, that's the same thing as taking, bleach and vinegar?
Bleach and ammonia.
Bleach and ammonia, yeah. And you pour a cup of bleach and then a cup of ammonia down the gopher hole and then stomp the dirt back onto it and give the gophers a little treat. But you want to stay away from mixing that kind of stuff up. So much for the science lesson today.
Rogers, were you in Caddyshack 2 or something?
No.
I got it, Chris, if nobody else did.
It's a gophers. I've used gopher gas, and I can't. It doesn't work with a shit or something. I don't know whether.
All right, Sparky, here's the deal on those gopher bombs or gopher gas. If you live in a very moist climate, like over on the Humboldt County coast, and early in the spring, those gopher bombs work just great. But as soon as the ground starts to dry out and crack, it doesn't seal the gas into the tunnel to make it work. About the only thing you can do there is, if you don't want it really big bangs, you take a propane number and put the propane into the ditch or into the hole and then light it. Or if you really want to have fun and plow your garden up at the same time, you take your oxyacetylene tank out there and open it up and then torch the acetylene off. And that will explosively blow, and you'll see where every gopher tunnel was in your yard.
Fire in the hole.
Yep.
Well, I've got an acetylene tank. I haven't got any oxygen.
Well, if you want to do that, you'll have to get your PA speakers set up so that you can, in true Caddyshack fashion, have the 1812 overture all queued up for when the explosions start. Right, Chris?
That's right, Robin.
Yeah, just straight acetylene would do it.
At the end. Yeah.
There'd be enough oxygen in the hole. But now, another way of doing it in very wet dirt is you go down to your local feed store, if they still carry it, and you get the calcium carbide crystals, which used to be used in the acetylene headlamps for miners years and years and years ago.
Yeah, just call it carbide around here.
Yeah, and you just put that down in the hole and cover it up, because acetylene is heavier than air, and it will seep down into the hole and go all the way through. But again, your dirt's got to be very, very damp in order for that to work, because otherwise it just seeps out through the pores in the soil and doesn't concentrate enough to kill the gopher.
Roger, is it dangerous to the? I mean, does it toxify the soil itself?
Putting acetylene in?
Yeah.
Not as far as I know.
Worry about things like that. It's kind of like talking with Flavio last night about eating dandelion greens, and he said you got to make sure you don't pick your dandelions out of a yard that has that's been Roundup'd.
Well, there aren't any dandelions in a yard that's been Roundup.
The very point I made, Roger. Great minds.
And the other side of it is that it's things like the Scott's Weed and Feed and that kind of stuff that you really need to be cautious of. If somebody puts that stuff on, within a day or two, your dandelions start to shrivel, and you know they're not good anyhow.
Right.
You'd have to go out and spray with the weed killer in the morning, and as soon as they dried off, go out and harvest the leaves before they started to show any effects. or you'd know that they were bad to start with. I mean, you could come to my yard and pick all the dandelion greens you want, because I've given up on a lawn. I have a weed patch that I mow, as opposed to that, because I try to keep that shit out of my yard altogether. But yeah, I agree that it would not be a good idea to eat treated dandelion greens. But
yeah, because they're no treat.
Any dandelion. You're never going to eat. You're never going to pick dandelion greens that have been treated with anything after the first 24 hours, because they're going to be all wilted and shriveled up before they start to die. Well, they're starting to die, but they're affected visibly when you use any kind of herbicide within a day or two. You read the labels on a bunch of that crap down at your local garden store, and it'll say rain hardy within 2 hours or whatever, and begins to kill in 24 hours. Well, that begins to kill is that wilting that you start seeing. And I don't know about you, but I don't like wilted greens.
Well, it depends on what it depends. I can get pretty passionate about some wilted leaf, some leaf lettuce with some salt and pepper on it, and some blazing hot bacon grease poured over it to wilt it. Yeah, around here it's either wilted lettuce or killed lettuce.
You do that wilting in your own kitchen. I'm talking about when you go harvest it.
Right. No. Yes.
I had some pea pod spinach the other night, but I washed it real good. It's from the store.
Now you got me thinking that to take some leaf lettuce and just nail it with this umami seasoning that I've absolutely become besotted with. Nail it with some of the umami seasoning and then pour the bacon grease to that. Whoa. That'll have to go on the list of things I can have when I can have solid food again.
You're already in the liquid diet?
Oh, no. I'm enjoying the last of solid food today. Hence the pepperoni rolls.
Ah. I wondered why those were on Facebook today.
Yeah, they just happened.
How many days are you going to have stitches in? How many?
Well, I mean, they fall out on their own. But I would imagine the stitches will be there for probably a week, thereabouts. And then, then.
Well, they got a time clock on them? They just dissolve?
Yeah. I mean, there's no clock. There won't be any ticking in my head or anything. I mean, if there is, I'm going to head for the bomb shelter. But no, they come out on their own. They dissolve. And so
last time I ever had anything done like that, I mean, stitch or something, I had my arm stapled after I had a bad cut. And the nurse at the hospital says, "You don't need to come back. I'll give you the tool to take them out." I said, "Cool." That's why it's so many days. And then there's this little tool that you put in there and it straightens them out and pulls them right out.
Oh, you're talking about staples.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get staples in his mouth.
I know, but I had to have... Last time I had stitches, I had a cyst removed on my back. He stitched it up, and then I had to go in about a week later and get the stitches pulled out.
I want to just very briefly turn... Bob, have you got your screen up to where you can see if I do a camera for just a second?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, just a second, and then I'll turn it back off.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it worked.
Yeah, it worked. I see you, Roger.
I'm not seeing it.
I see it.
The bottom of it is red.
Oh, my God, that's heaven.
And the top is the regular orange Ahi Amarillos, and it just got packed down day before yesterday, and it's starting to show bubbles. So,
Oh, that's your little airlock in the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pickle pipe is what they call it.
Oh, I've never seen those. That's cool.
It's like a baby bottle nipple kind of number.
Yeah.
And if you look at it real close, you probably won't be able to see it, but it's a little crosshatch I'm not seeing my camera, but it's a little crosshatch number that lets the CO2 out. But anyhow, this is a half-gallon jar that I packed down the other day. So.
Oh, that's going to be pure magic. But, Roger, you got to tell me, I'm terribly intrigued. Tell me about the wall hanging.
Oh, the wall hanging behind me. It's from Lake Titicaca.
I thought
Peru.
So.
And it's done in it's three different panels done by three different people. And at the bottom, which is behind the couch, you can't see it, they signed their names. And it starts out with the trout fishing and all that. I guess I should turn the camera back on. It starts out at the bottom with the harvesting from the lake, with the fishing for the trout, and then the reed boats that the people are standing in. And then there's the three horizontal lines. And then there's using the oxen to till the field. And the next panel up is the various native dancing kind of thing they do. And the next panel up is sort of like the Christian missionary type bullshit. And the very top of it is, of course, the sun coming over the mountains around the lake.
And is it textile?
It's, in essence, embroidery.
Oh, my heavens.
And it's all done with alpaca fur and the natural colors of the alpaca. None of it's dyed.
Roger, that's breathtaking. That's just beautiful.
And I picked it up when I was living down there.
I love the peppers, but man, that just jumped off the wall at me. And I can't see it all that clearly, but it had an indigenous look to it.
Yeah, it's made by actually young girls that are sort of learning how to spin and do the needlework that they do on their traditional garments. And, you know, there's a little bit off on the perspective on a couple of occasions and that kind of thing. But I liked it and I looked at it, and it was just a beautiful piece. And I conned Mom and Dad into forking out the money. So, anyhow, help out the indigenous. Oh, there's my – it finally showed up. It's not really portable, but I can get a little bit closer to it. So you can see the churches at the very top. And then the very bottom of it. Maybe I can do.
Oh, I hadn't seen, and in the other shot, I hadn't seen the mountains. That's amazing.
Yeah, the mountains with the sun peeking over the. Whoops, I'm having a hard time.
Hey, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Can you take a picture of it and post it on that Horn group site on Facebook?
Yeah, because when people hear the podcast, they're going to. No fair. I want to see it.
Okay, I'll take a picture of it and post it on the Horn Facebook page. Okay.
Appreciate it. That's just beautiful.
Now, turn my camera off and make everybody happy.
Got to do a little show and tell once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me get the light out of the way so I don't... Anyhow.
So people that don't join the Skype group are missing out on some stuff.
Oh, and at the beginning of the program, I said, if it hadn't happened already, it would be, let the Afghanistan withdrawal hissies begin. Chinless Mitch McConnell declaring, precipitously withdrawing U.S. forces from Afghanistan is a grave mistake. It is retreat in the face of an enemy that has not yet been vanquished and abdication of American leadership. Did he throw that kind of a hissy when Nitwit Nero was talking about getting out? I'm guessing no.
No.
And the fact that, but the goddess of irony owns Mitch McConnell. Making him say it was a grave mistake, that was pretty good on her part. It reminds me of who is it? Mercutio having been run through in a sword fight in Romeo and Juliet. Says, "Ask after me tomorrow, cousin, and you shall find me a grave man," meaning he knows he's dying. Yeah, going into Afghanistan was the grave mistake.
So now we need to find out who are the contractors that are getting screwed by us pulling out.
Yeah, you mean the money?
Yeah, following the money. That's all Mitch is interested in.
Yeah.
Somebody gives him money because we're still there. Now, if we are out, they're not going to give him that money anymore or something.
And, of course, that paragon of military courage and valor, Lindsey Graham, he said, is a disaster in the making. So irresponsible, it makes the Biden administration policies at the border look sound. Liz Cheney, dick in a bad wig, is having a hissy too. Jesus. I would like just once to hear these war hawk Republicans. Remember, Liz Cheney is the daughter of a man who got 7 goddamn deferments to stay out of Vietnam. You know, she needs to shut the fuck up forever about anything military. But just what, you know, I'd like an answer from them. How many American lives do you want to waste in Afghanistan? Because so far we've wasted a bunch. But we got to waste more, or else this here will be all them wasted lives will be wasted in vain if we don't waste some more. Jesus, I hate it.
There's a wall in Washington of wasted lives.
Yeah. Last I checked, what, about 55,000?
Closer to 58,000.
Yeah, because it keeps growing. But the same thing's going to happen when we leave Afghanistan that would happen anytime we left Afghanistan. The only answer to that is to say we're going to be an occupying imperial force forever. And I ain't okay with that.
And we're spending all this treasure, blood and treasure, so that the Chinese can extract the rare minerals out of the ground.
Right. And that's what's going to happen. The Chinese will do their soft power thing. They'll move in. They'll mine the lithium and all the other rare earth. That's the only reason we've been there the whole damn time.
They'll take over Bagram airfield, all the improvements we made.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's either stay forever or get the fuck out. And, you know, the idea of someone dying in Afghanistan who wasn't even alive on September 11th, 2001 is just repugnant.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, we do have Joey and Giraffe's challenge on the table, $25. And if we could get a start on that, it would get us down past the $280 mark, where we have been since about an hour ago. And, you know, take a little bit of weight off of my little noggin going forward until I can get back. I've got something else here I want to share with the group I thought you might find interesting. I found it touching in the extreme. Of course, we have more and more, you know, if you've got a right-wing government, that means, by definition, you also have a government that, you know, apparently the in thing to do this year is to attack trans kids. I got a clip here. And this is, I said I would have more Texas news in short order. Thank you, Jeremy. That gets us on the way to meeting Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thank you so much, Jeremy. This comes from the Texas State Legislature, the Senate Committee on State Affairs, and a little girl named Kai Shapley. She's a fourth grader. She's trans. She's known she was a little girl since she was wee tiny. And she testified in front of the Texas State Senate Committee on State Affairs. And my God, I don't know. I don't know how every, well, they have no shame, so there's no way that a Republican senator from Texas can hang their head in shame. But I was just so proud of this little girl. God, it's wonderful. I mean, you want to talk about courage. This little girl's nothing but courage. And the thing is, she mentioned she's a big Dolly Parton fan. I hope Dolly will take note of this, and when it's safe for her to travel, go and meet this child and make her and absolutely make her life up to that moment. But just check out her testimony. This is amazing. I mean, the first time I heard that, our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted this, and I watched it, and tears puddled up, and oh my God, this is so, so moving.
Kai Shapley, introduce yourself and give us your testimony. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Kai Shapley. I love ballet, math, science, and geology. I spend my free time with my cats, chickens, FaceTiming my friends, and dreaming of when I will finally meet Dolly Parton. I do not like spending my free time asking adults to make good choices. I've been having to explain myself since I was 3 or 4 years old. Texas legislators have been attacking me since pre-K. I am in fourth grade now. When it comes to bills that target trans youth, I immediately feel angry. It's been very scary and overwhelming. It makes me sad that some politicians use trans kids like me to get votes from people who hate me just because I exist. God made me. God loves me for who I am, and God does not make mistakes. You should be careful how you treat the least of these.
Matthew 25.
Please, just listen to me. Hear me. Try to educate yourselves. Try to understand everybody. My mom has been giving everything she has to stand up for me. With these new things y'all are trying to do, we both are having to advocate for each other because you are now targeting a great mom and a great nurse. My mom needs her nursing license to take care of me and my siblings. Bullying is bad. Please stop. Don't make bad choices. It's never too late to turn it around. And I want to say thank you to those of you who are sticking up for kids like me. By the time I am in college, you will be celebrated in the history books.
Yeah, they will be. What a brave, brave, brave little girl. It just, wow. Blew my mind that a fourth grader has to appear before the Senate of the state of Texas to defend themselves against a bunch of bigoted old men, bigoted old white men and women. Jesus, God. But she's something. She's something.
Did they drag her off in handcuffs like they did that the father?
Fortunately, no.
Oh.
But I'm sure there were some who were thinking that they'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
But she's going to grow up to beat the shit out of all the other soccer players.
Yeah, and she's going to take them women's sports scholarships. Man, that's some long range planning, isn't it? Just amazing. Let's see here. Okay. That certainly brought things to a screeching halt. Let's see. Who else do we... Who else have we not heard from?
Well, Steve just joined the room.
Hey, Steve.
Blobbing, what's shaking, man?
I don't know it. How about, you know, I'm just sitting here dreading tomorrow, but, you know, apart from that, I'm hungry.
Oh, man. Any kind of dental work is dental work. It sucks, man, but you got to get it done.
Yep.
Got to get it behind you. It'll pass, you know, and you'll be all the better for it.
Yeah, I hope I don't spend too much of this wonderful, wonderful summer, you know, just hiding here in the mansion.
I don't see that.
That whole Granny Clampett look is just not something I'm into.
Well, no matter how waxed you are, you can come on here Friday and join the back porch. It doesn't go on the airwaves. We won't laugh, honest.
Well, it just depends. It entirely depends on, because, you know, Agnes warned me. She said, if you do not do exactly as I tell you, I will not take care of you.
Ask your dentist, can I talk? And if he says no, then don't talk.
Yeah, I mean, I
we just have to wait to see how he feels on Friday.
10-4. It's just an idea.
No. I mean,
if he feels like it, maybe he'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, Sally, back off, man. Damn it, I've had a rough day.
Well, tell us about your rough day.
No, it's not worth sharing, man. Just work shit.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Spacely's been working at that to death.
Yeah, lately. Too many cogs in the cog farm, man. Yeah. How you doing, Chris?
Unmute, Steve, Chris.
Oh, I disconnected for a second. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the retort.
I just said, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing terrific.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Good to hear.
Same thing with me. We're, for any IT geeks out there in the world, we're moving data centers this weekend, so lots of prep work, and we got folks down there burning their butts off.
Meetings. What is it with corporate, and they're all meeting happy, man, all these freaking meetings. You know, it's just, it's tiring. It wears you out, but as I said, it's not very exciting. Robin, I had a question for you, though, if you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
You heard that they made Joe Manchin's wife, gave her a cabinet position. I just wanted to know how
it's
you
not,
felt.
It's not a cabinet position. She is the co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not impressed, but it seems pretty transparently an attempt to get Joe to freaking cooperate. What else do we have to give you, Joe?
What's your daughter doing?
Do we need to rename the national capital Mansion D.C.? I mean, Washington, he's been dead for a long time. Nobody cares.
I don't know if that would help you with your cause or not as far as the ACAP.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
Huh? No. And one of the things I did point out that, you know, that this means that the Appalachian Regional Commission will not be doing anything to actually help the people of Appalachia because it's all transactional.
It does have a fox guarding the hen house feel to it.
Yeah, it's got that vibe, Steve.
One of those things that where they pay people to sit on a commission, but they don't do nothing.
Yeah, but the Appalachian Regional Commission actually does something because they get this great big humongous pot of money.
Well, who do they give it to?
Cronies. Just cronies.
And who are the cronies? Have you looked into it?
No, the cronies are anybody who sticks their proboscis far enough up Joe Manchin's fundament that you can see them when he sneezes.
Oh, so the coal barons or somebody else?
Coal barons, frackers, people who want to use the fresh, clean water, what of it we have left of West Virginia, to make jet fuel out of coal, you know. Those kind of folks.
Jet fuel out of coal?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I think it takes something like 6 gallons of fresh water to make 1 gallon of coal-based jet fuel. I mean, I remember hearing Joe Manchin say, someday, maybe we'll fly our jets around the world on jet fuel made from clean, carbon-neutral coal. Oh, you think I'm joking? I'm not.
Well, I read a story yesterday about how they're making jet fuel out of trash. I forget where I saw it.
I've seen that too. I've seen where they're making trash out of trash.
Well, anyway, they're only making millions of gallons of it when they use billions of gallons every year. It was something United Airlines was into.
So they're getting rid of our waste and turning it into something that probably causes more waste.
But it burns clean.
Oh, okay.
So they say.
Yeah, that's the joker in the deck, the so they say part.
Yeah, that's right up there with clean coal, sounds like to me, but what the hell do I know?
Well, I know they were making some kind of fuel out of algae. It was supposedly a clean fuel.
Oh yeah, that was an Exxon. Was that a BP or an Exxon Mobil commercial for a long time?
I think Exxon deal.
Did you see that the other problem
is you can't run jet airliners on electricity.
Yet.
Why not nuclear reactors? Once we perfect fusion.
That could be fun.
Or
you never know what's going to happen down the road.
Or, you know, like UFOs fly, you know, kind of the levitation. I don't know if you've ever looked up experiments of how to, I can't remember, I've seen this. It basically is a realization or a, what's not the word realization? I'll say realization of warp speed, that it's that method actually being explored, and they can do it. It's extremely inefficient in terms of the power that goes in versus the power that comes out, but that, you know, that shit is on the drawing board.
So, Steve, what do you think is New York City's robo dog?
I don't know nothing about nothing. You know what, man?
You haven't seen that story?
No.
Oh, they got one of those robotics, Boston Robotics one. It looks like a dog thing. It's got a camera on it and everything, and a guy operates it, and it can climb steps, and it can do everything.
It's
in the news the last couple of days. They just got one.
Is it, what's the purpose?
Oh, it's for you know, officer safety. It's a robot dog that can, go sniffing around people's homes, you know, apartments, whatever.
Speaking of police, the news broke last night that the pudgy white officer that told that lieutenant in wherever it was in North Carolina, you should be afraid of us, he was fired last night.
Virginia.
The 26-year veteran has been arrested.
Yeah, charged with second-degree manslaughter. Or as the cops in Minnesota like to call it, man's laughter.
Hey, I have a question. You know, I still can't figure out, why are black people so angry?
Oh, dear God, Steve, you didn't go.
You know what? Every time, I'm going to tell you something. You know, you ever heard Malloy say this? He says, you know, if I were born a black man, I would be in prison or dead. Yeah. And I'm the same way. I don't.
Well, Steve, you want something that'll really give you pause?
Oh, gosh.
And that's P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S. No furries here. That I know of. I saw this earlier on social media. Dig this. Finding out that George Floyd's girlfriend was Dante Wright's teacher reminds us that Fred Hampton's mom babysat Emmett Till. It's devastating to grasp the violence and collective trauma of systemic racism across families, communities, and generations, and know how little has changed.
And you want to hear something so sick? I don't know if it's sick. I don't know what it is. Do you know who some of the most patriotic people that I've ever met are?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Jeez, I have my ex who was black. I never will forget. And look, you know, this was years ago. The first serious boyfriend I ever had. I got on really well with his mom and his sister. And I always assumed, you know, and again, it's where I was brought up that black people just hated America. And I never will forget having a conversation with her. And she says, you know, I love this country. I just really hate the stuff that it does. And I couple that with, I have a very good friend of mine who is second generation American. His grandparents were from Ireland, and he would go back fairly frequently and has a bunch of Irish, you know, relatives that he still talks with. And I think it was a relative of his made the comment that American blacks were the most forgiving people, were the most forgiving group of people generally that this person had ever met. And good God, that's how I am with Malloy. I don't have the bravery. I don't have the restraint. I mean, when I hear people talk about, well, you know, you can protest, but you really need to do it peacefully. And I feel like going, have you not been fucking paying attention? Have you not? Really? Really? You spend a day in their shoes and you look out and you see that every single time. A man is killed. A woman is killed. What was the young woman in Baltimore who was either the lawyer or the law student over she wouldn't put out her cigarette. The guy, I mean.
Sandra Bland.
No, that's Texas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
you know who I'm talking about, right?
I thought that was her. No? With the cigarette?
In Baltimore. I thought it was in Baltimore.
Sandra Bland was Texas.
Yeah, Freddie Gray was Baltimore.
I've written him about
it. But you know what?
What I'm trying to wrap my head around on this is if the black population of this country were having the same mindset as all these Second Amendment red hat folk, this country would be absolutely torn to rat shit because they'd be taking their freedom protectors and attempting to protect their freedom. Because the amount of bullshit that the black people of this country have had to put up with, and the mere fact they haven't. I mean, the Black Panthers, when they went and stood on the steps of the state capitol in Sacramento back in the 60s, they were just showing a tidbit. And Ronald Reagan's immediate thing was to ban all kinds of weapons in the state of California and ban them from the Capitol and ban them from here and ban them from there. But if these assholes that had been storming D.C. last January 6th were – if the black people of this country had their mentality, we'd still be in a civil fucking war. I mean, it just bends me.
Roger, you remember that Karen that was all butthurt that she couldn't go on her Mexican vacation?
Yeah.
That was roaming around the Capitol? Yeah.
mean, I've written in about it before, that half my family is of African descent, including my father. And there's been times I've gone into stores with him, with a group of other people, maybe four or five different people, all white like me. And the sales reps all look at the door, look at him, and at least one approach him and say, hey, may I help you? And don't talk to anybody else. And then the rest of the time we're in the store, there's at least one associate pretending they're doing something within 10 to 15 feet of us at all times. That's happened on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. I'm not perfect. I find myself saying stuff under my breath, thinking things that I sometimes stop and go, wait, Steve, you need to really check yourself. But I honestly can't. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the. I just don't understand it. I feel like I could, you know, as an LGBT person, I could feel that way about evangelicals. Just be like, stay the hell away from me.
Well, I wouldn't. Pretty dangerously.
I don't want to hurt them.
No, but I'm wary of them. That's for damn sure.
Well, I'm wary of cops. Every time I see cops on the subway, I tense up and I'm thinking, oh God, there's trouble afoot. They are troublemakers. And yes, if you ever hear anybody say, nobody's for abolishing the police, you can say, oh yeah, I know a guy who is, and that would be me. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know.
You know, I have four new car air fresheners hanging on my mirror right now. And I'm pretty maybe 99.999% sure that I can get my car and drive anywhere I want to in the whole country. And I probably won't get stopped for it.
Yeah. You won't,
just guessing.
You won't get stopped for DWFA.
And I won't get shot instead of tased. Pretty right. Sure of that too.
Driving. Well, how many cars are we seeing right now that have face masks hanging from the fucking
yeah,
mirror?
Yeah, no shit. Great point.
Amen, Roger. Amen.
Well, I've got something here that a friend of mine reposted, and I read it earlier, and it just left me. It left me speechless. A fella named David Gray wrote, I need to drive my 2-year-old to daycare tomorrow morning. To ensure we arrive alive, we won't take public transit, Oscar Grant. I removed all air fresheners from the vehicle and double-checked my registration status, Dante Wright, and ensured my license plates were visible, Lieutenant Caron Nazario. I will be careful to follow all traffic rules, Philando Castile. Signal every turn, Sandra Bland. Keep the radio volume low, Jordan Davis. And won't stop at a fast food chain for a meal, Rayshard Brooks. I'm too afraid to pray, Reverend Clement to see Pickney. So I just hope the car won't break down, Corey Jones. When my wife picks him up at the end of the day, I'll remind her not to dance, Elijah McLean. Stop to play in a park, Tamir Rice. Patronize the local convenience store for snacks, Trayvon Martin. Or walk around the neighborhood, Mike Brown. Once they're home, we won't stand in our backyard, Stefan Clark. Eat ice cream on the couch, Botham Jean. Or play any video games, a Tatiana Jefferson. After my wife tuck him into bed around 7:30 p.m., neither of us will leave the house to go to Walmart, John Crawford. Or to the gym, Sharond Oates. Or on a jog, Ahmad Arbery. We won't even walk to see the birds, Christian Cooper. We'll just sit and try not to breathe, George Floyd, and not to sleep, Breonna Taylor. These are things white people simply do not have to think about. And it's all factual. There's nothing speculative about that. And it's back.
Why do you hate America? I'm sorry.
No.
Well, that's quite the indictment.
Yeah, it is.
It's all true. Yeah.
Every last thing is true. And damn, I mean, at some point in time, to kind of build on what Steve was saying a minute ago, when police departments are so broken, and they prove to us time and time again that they're broken, you know, there's that old phrase, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, what if it is broke and you can't fix it? Doesn't it become junk? Don't you haul it away to the scrapyard? Isn't that what we do? There has to be a way of rethinking what it is that we think police are. I mean, from a legal standpoint, I try never to let myself forget the number of cases in which people have sued police departments saying that they violated their duty to protect the public. And without fail, every one of those lawsuits gets dismissed because there is no duty of the police department to protect the public. It does not exist. And so if they're not there to protect the public and you can't enforce some notion of public safety, and combined with the fact that there is nothing more expensive in a city budget than a police department, what's the money for? What is the purpose of a police department? You know, the various and sundry forms of constabularies and whatnot have existed in this country and prior to the Civil War. But after the Civil War is when you see the real proliferation of police departments. And I would argue that it's a direct response to the passage of Posse Comitatus, which says that, and this arises out of Reconstruction, it says that you cannot use the military of the United States as an occupying law enforcement unit. And so, if you're going to have an occupying force to oppress some portion of the population, that's why police departments were made. I mean, I'm a history nerd. I can't help it. Back in the bad old days of the mine wars here, coal companies hired their own private armies, and it wasn't just in Appalachia. I mean, the Pinkertons were out in Utah and Ludlow, Colorado, and all over the place, these private mercenary armies. And when they were finally outlawed here in West Virginia, at least, the West Virginia legislature, having outlawed these private armies, then turned around and created the West Virginia State Police. And guess who they hired to be the first members of the West Virginia State Police? They hired Pinkertons. They hired members of the Baldwin-Felts Detective Agency, known and remembered to this day as the Baldwin Thugs. That's the origin of policing.
They're always very ready and willing and able to come to the defense of protecting a capitalist's property.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And to make sure that the hoi polloi don't get out of line, especially if the hoi polloi are darker than a grocery store's paper bag. Ron in Raleigh says history is the problem. The Second Amendment was enacted to allow formation of slave patrols. Arguably, yes, and very definitely militias to slaughter indigenous people. Those are facts. And later on in the South, the slave patrols became the first police forces. Ask a lawful gun owner like Philando Castile about his right to bear arms. Oh, wait, you can't, because he's dead, shot dead by the police when he was trying to show the officer his concealed carry permit. The history of this country post-Civil War was based on the lost cause. Until this changes, racism will hold sway. Just a fact. Just a fact. Oh, and as we approach the end of the second hour of the program, happy news. Thank you to Kat. Thank you, Kat, so very kindly. And thanks as well. I mentioned earlier, Jeremy. Joey and Giraffe's challenge is met. And we have $70 remaining to finish the evening to the good. Thank you so much, Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Jeremy. That's tremendous.
Robin?
Yes.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
A couple things. Make sure you check your email.
Yes.
It's about some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Right.
And
yes.
I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you've answered. I've been away from.
No, I haven't. I've been running around with like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to get everything ready so that I don't have to go out. And I mean, last night I went and got kerosene, and I've got enough. I've got enough yogurt to survive a zombie apocalypse. I got mashed potatoes, and I've been trying, and I got everything. So Ferg won't need anything, and Agnes won't need anything, and I can just lay there in my opioid-induced stupor for a couple of days.
You can stare at the ceiling and swear that you're looking at the stars.
Well, no, I'll just I'll lay there, and you know, there will be a little voice in my head. My friends, I cannot believe that Joe Biden is actually president of the United States. With half my brain tied behind my back and buried 6 feet under the ground, I still can't believe it. I, America's truth detector, Rush Limbaugh.
I hope you know that's not the voice you hear.
Bad drugs. Bad drugs.
Very bad. By the way, I'm still going to send you some of my Lapland recipes because they are various types of really good smoothies and whatnot that you may not have thought of, and they're very good for what you're going to be going because I had the same shit. I'm still going to send them to you.
Oh, please, yes.
So, if you would, as soon as you're sentient.
Because I ain't going to be.
I know. I may try to send it tonight. I'm thinking of some things to do to try to induce some large contributions while you're gone.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
And the unfortunate thing is I'm going to probably have to limit them to people in New York. Here's what I'll say. Here's one of the things I'm considering. Get four or five people who give a huge amount of money, and I will agree to come cook them like four or five meals.
Oh, wow.
I don't want us to get too far behind. I got to think about it. I'd like to do that to make sure that we stay as flush as we can. I don't know if I can, but I'm actually thinking
okay.
about it.
That's very kind. And by the way, I don't know what kind of eldritch wizardry he used, but Brother Deacon Asa has breathed life back into the GoFund Bob URL, and the crowdfunding campaign is still there. We're a little past the halfway mark, and maybe during the time that I'm away, however long that is, maybe that would be the way, because, you know, if I get this done and I can't do the prosthetics, I may be Daffy Duck for fucking ever, and I just can't stand the thought of that. Puffering thuckatash.
Well, I mean, you might talk funny, but that doesn't have anything to say about your intelligence and your... political acumen.
Oh, but ever since September 15th, I've become a very vain person.
What was September 15th?
Transition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to allow myself to be seen in public for a while.
Hey, fine, but we hear you. That doesn't mean we know what you look like.
It true. You can just imagine me looking like Granny Clampett.
No, actually, I can't imagine you look like Granny Clampett. If for no other reason than you're just too short. I mean, too
Robin,
tall.
Robin, I didn't know Carly Simon was singing about you.
Neither did she. But she was.
Now, Robin, you need to pick one. You said Gandalf and Granny Clampett. Which one is it?
Well, it depends on the setting. If Agnes is sitting on a bucket next to me and the chair's way up here, it's Gandalf and Frodo. But you know, on my own, yeah, Granny Clampett.
Wait a minute. So you have a long beard and you wear gray. And I'm going to tell you something. You just opened up a real can of worms that once you are back, I just might be calling you Mithrin Deer all the time.
You know, I'll wear nothing but white.
And have a white staff and...
Fly, you fools. No, that was still Gandalf the Grey then, right. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. He was still Gandalf the Grey then.
Yeah, that was when he was attacked by the ball hog. Fake, dribble, fake, dribble, fake, dribble, dribble. Shoot! Aye, a ball hog! Never read, you're a Lord of the Rings fan and you never read Board of the Rings, Steve?
Actually, I have it. A friend of mine bought the book for me and I have not read it, no.
Oh my God.
It seems blasphemous.
Oh, it absolutely is, and it's absolutely hilarious. For instance, as they're crossing, I think the one of the rivers before they get to La Lorna Dune. the someone tells the story of the river.
La Lorna Dune?
Yeah, Lothlorien, La Lorna Dune. Yeah, before they have to cross the river before they get to La Lorna Dune. And someone tells the story of the river and the grieving nymph maiden. An elven maid there was of old, a stenographer by day. Her hair was fake, her teeth were gold. Her scent was that of cheap sachet. She thought that art was really keen. The top 10 she could hum. Her eyes were full of Maybelline, her mouth of chewing gum. And then comes this... Then comes this wonderful remark. "'Tis a queer river," said Bromacel, as the river lapped at his thighs. Beautiful. Just beautiful.
I had to mute myself because I was laughing so loudly. I need to go read that. The book's probably in storage still, but okay.
Yeah, Tom Bombadil becomes Tim Benzedrine.
I didn't mean to start this.
All your fault. didn't mean to start this. I'll let myself out. Let's see. What is it? You've seen me use the deliberate misspelling Brames, Braims. That comes from Board of the Rings. No, I got courage, man. What I ain't got is Brames. That's from the mouth of Tim Benzedrine.
Tim Benzedrine.
Yeah, Gandalf becomes Good Golf.
I'm sorry. This is fucking hilarious.
Frito and Dildo Bugger.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's not far off.
Gimlet and Legolam. Who hate each other's guts. And Legolam was like, pig of a dwarf. Fetch off, hairdresser elf. Oh, I'm jealous now. I thought all Tolkien fans had read Board of the Rings. Some do think that it's some sort of sacrilege, but my God, they packed the whole story into about 180 pages, and... You start and you can't stop, and you start the laughing, and the laughing leads to the tears running down your face, and you can't breathe, and you find yourself just muttering. Krona. this is a backstory. This is how much I love that story. Once upon a time, I think it was during law school, I had a bong, and I named it because everybody names their bongs, right? I named my bong Krona, the bong that was broken and hastily reglued, because that is Arrowroot, son of Arrowshirt's broken mystical sword. Krona, the sword that was broken and hastily reglued.
You know, I something tells me that, like, Tolkien would have liked that.
I like to think. I mean, it was written during his lifetime. It was published by the Harvard Lampoon in, I think, 1968 by Henry Beard and Douglas Kinney. Mm-hmm. Douglas Kinney would go on to be the principal writer behind Animal House and several other things.
I have a question. Does anyone know if George Lucas blessed Spaceballs, Mel Brooks?
I hope not. I hope not. I hated that like movie. Oh, I don't like Mel Brooks.
It was bad, but it was meant to be bad.
Wait, do I know you? You hate Mel Brooks?
Oh. No, I love Mel Brooks. You hate Mel Brooks in general, or just Spaceballs?
Completely unfunny.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Who are you, and what have you done with our friend Steve?
Yes. Would you expect nothing less from a person who finds Monty Python complete trash?
Speaking of space, I just posted a story in the chat about Jeff Bezos. He launched Blue Origin with a capsule, testing it out from Texas.
God, I hope all the billionaires go to Mars. I really do.
You know, we haven't heard enough about him. Can we get an update on Prince Philip?
Still dead, just like Rush.
Who was he borrowed from Lonnie? From Lonnie. I don't know how that saying goes.
Did you hear who the scuttlebutt is of the people who said the Archie's too brown comment?
No. Camilla? The smart money was on Camilla or, you know, Phil.
Princess Anne.
Was the scuttlebutt I got.
Stay classy.
By the way, Robin, I posted the picture of that tapestry on your page on Facebook.
Yeah, I noticed. I saw it, and I put a like on it. So for anybody listening to the podcast, run over to my Facebook page. It's right there.
Robin,
thank you, Roger. Yeah.
Let me kick something around that I heard in another show today, and I've given this a lot of thought, and this is very doable. Cut down a lot of this police violence. Any benign moving violations, just take a picture. You don't even have to pull anybody over.
Absolutely.
No confrontation. Why can't we pass something?
Well, it's already happening. I mean, traffic cams are a thing. And you just
right.
get
to have them in all over the city in Reading.
No. Wrong. Wrong.
Hold up, Steve. I've had a cop tell me that a tag light has led to more felony arrests than probably any other infraction because they get to go on a fishing expedition. And I'm thinking that's probably why they don't want to do away with this.
You're absolutely right. I mean, a friend of mine for decades now has referred to the police as tax collectors in funny hats. And that's what they are. They're shakedown artists.
And Steve, from a lawyer's perspective, why is it wrong? And I'm sorry, Duncan, I didn't mean to walk on you.
This fucking, you know what?
No, I was just going to say, we had a story in the paper the other day. The Red Bluff cops pulled over this gal at 2 o'clock in the morning. She was driving erratically. So they were able to search her car, and she found they found a whole bunch of methamphetamine in the car.
So I have a story to go.
That wouldn't be just take a picture and let them go.
Going to say, I had an incident with the police many years ago. It was probably like 10 years ago at this point. I worked for UPS at the time, and back then I unloaded trucks. And at that time, they just switched over scanners. And you had a scanner on your hip with something that looked like a gun holster, but it was square. And I got pulled over one night because my headlights weren't on, and I didn't know any better. Then the cop said, hey, can I search your car? And I was young and naive, and I said yes because I was, you know, scared what he could do to me. And he got in there. He's like, do you have any weapons or anything you know about? You don't need a permit to have a concealed weapon in this state. You can carry it open or whatever, and they can't do shit about it. But anyway, I said no. And he's going through my car, and he found the holster for the scanner on the back seat. Popped up, threw his hand in and said, kid, you have a fucking gun in this car I don't know about? He didn't know what it was.
Oh, that's scary.
What you turn in your scanner after the end of the shift, but you keep the holster?
Yeah, well, it was on my belt, and I didn't really think about it. I just pulled it out, and, you know, I ran in and threw it in the back of the car or something. And on the way home, I had a light out, and my lights weren't on, and he searched, found it, and he thought it was a gun, and he was looking for a felony arrest.
All right.
Hey, but if you got a tag light out, does that really warrant being pulled over? No.
No, those are all just ticky-tacky little things in the traffic code that create the probable cause for a cop to pull you over and at bare minimum make some money for whichever municipality or county or state that they work for.
Exactly.
Erratic driving is worth pulling somebody over for.
No question. And I guarantee you, Chris, if something like this ever passes, the erratic driving pullovers would skyrocket. Everybody would be driving erratically. Is it your word against theirs?
Well, there's that.
Well, you're out at 2 o'clock in the morning, so that.
Hey, Darlene wants to talk.
Yeah, Darlene, go ahead. Bring a lawyer's perspective in on this.
Can people see my chat? My comments in the chat, or no?
I haven't been looking in the chat.
How's that spelled? Board of the Rings. Hello, laugh out loud. Never mind. I didn't think my chat is working or something in a frowny face.
I see it too.
All right, so y'all just blowing it off. That's what that means. Okay. Anyway.
No, bored. B-O-R-E-D.
If you only knew, Darlene, if you only knew.
Only knew what?
It's been a day. Don't take
it personally. Well, isn't that how we're supposed to respond to all lawyers? Just ignore them?
Oh, that was a shot.
Man.
Shots fired.
I haven't even said anything, you know. All right, well, don't know what to say to that, but okay.
I'm thinking of the defense lawyers in Milwaukee is what I'm thinking about.
Call went out to all lawyers on the horn the other night on John's chat.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that too late. What was the question?
Can we let Darlene talk?
Yes, we can do that too.
Go ahead, Darlene.
Well, first of all, I want to wish you the best for tomorrow, Robin.
Thank you.
Dread. Yeah. And then Trump, didn't he go after President Obama for quote unquote, you know, tipping his hand in terms of withdrawing troops? Was it Iraq or was it Afghanistan?
Probably. Definitely Iraq.
And didn't he basically do the same thing by giving a date certain in terms of withdrawing from Afghanistan because he was saying it was May?
Yeah, absolutely. IOKIYAR.
And then, of course, we have Biden who's saying May's too soon and is giving, you know, and it's symbolic, September 11th for withdrawal from Afghanistan. Yeah, last I heard, it was September 11th.
What do you think of that symbolism? Is it going to be beneficial? Is it just placating? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm not sure what his reasoning is. It could be more or less, it's what, 20 years?
Yep.
So it marks a certain anniversary, and I guess he's trying to make a statement that, you know, it began with that and it's going to end with that.
Did anybody see the video of Biden walking around Arlington today?
Mm-mm.
There's some symbolism there.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, well, that's a really good point, and that's probably all related. And then I guess I'm seeing a mugshot of Kim Potter, the officer that resigned and shot, who shot Dante Wright. That was pretty quick.
They did arrest her? I didn't know about that.
So that's pretty quick in terms of, you know, a cop being arrested. And I do have to wonder if it's because it's a woman and she's expendable in that regard, because if it was a white male cop, I don't know if that would have happened. I'm just saying. It's just something I'm just curious about.
But she did have 26 years in, and she resigned before she was arrested, and therefore her retirement happened before the legal action. Oh. So I will bet even if she sits in a cell, she's going to be getting her pension.
Wow. Roger, you hit the nail on the frickin' head.
I knew that.
She was tipped off. She knew it was going to happen.
That's amazing. Darlene, what were the charges?
I don't know. I didn't know.
They hit her with second-degree manslaughter.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what it was, second degree.
Manslaughter. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Guess I'm falling down on the job as a lawyer.
Which was the...
Yeah. So, yeah. And then Kamala and Doug finally moved into their digs, into the vice president's residence, which sounds like a really super nice place. Super nice place. As a matter of fact, it seems more coveted than actually being, you know, actually living in the White House at the Naval Observatory. Sounds like a really nice place. They finally got to move in. That was the other thing I noticed, because I guess that was stressing her out quite a bit.
Yeah, and she got to fly a Marine 2 to work the other day, too.
Cool.
And then the other question I had was, because people were bringing up dandelions, I was just wondering if anyone's ever made or tried dandelion wine.
Oh, I saw that note from last night, and I was deep in... I have tried it once. It's okay. It's not great.
Do you know how it's made?
No, I do not. I don't know if it's made from the blossoms. I assume it's made from the blossoms.
Sounds like time to ask Mr. Google.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Pardon the clacking.
No, you take and go out and pick a shitload of dandelion flowers, get all the green off of them, which means you have to laboriously pick all the petals off of all the dandelion flowers, and then you do your fermentation. Or if you want a jelly, you can pick all the petals off and steep them in a tea, and then use that liquid with sugar and pectin to make a jelly. Yeah, and the jelly theoretically has a flavor very much like honey.
Mm. And here I thought they just got dandelion to piss in a jar.
Ah. But it has a citrus quality to it, according to the recipe I'm looking at right now, because it's got orange slices and lemon slice.
Hmm.
It could be tasty. Looks sort of, and it looks sort of redolent of mead.
I love mead.
Well, I mean, you can take and make your tea out of the petals and make any kind of concoction you want down the road. I mean, yeah, it's citrus, and yeah, you're going to get lemony. You add oranges, you're going to get an orange flavor. Add tangerines, you get a tangerine flavor. Add ginger, you get a ginger flavor.
Yeah, speaking of meads, that was my favorite mead, the one I made that was flavored with lemon and ginger, and I did it sparkling. One of these days I'm going to get back to where I can I can brew again. You had no idea what you were starting, did you, Darlene?
Nope. Nope.
But I'm glad you popped in, because I love the giraffe story that Tom and Sonny San Rafael sent along, because it really was. It was the buddy method. Only in Kenya it worked.
Oh, I think I missed that.
Yeah, leave the trailer open, the giraffe walks in, and it's cool, okay, used to it.
Oh.
And
yeah.
then you close the gate and you ferry the giraffe to safety across the lake.
Well, it sounds like the giraffe's far more a willing participant than Buddy.
Well, yeah, the Beefalo.
Buddy's not taking any chances.
Beefaloes can be kind of cantankerous, seeing as how they are. They probably have some sort of memory of being, they are generally treated as, you know, a snack.
Right, yeah, no. He knew what was happening. He knew he was going where he was going. So he doesn't trust humans. You can't blame him for that.
Not at all.
Probably why that Plymouth officer's trying to establish a connection with him, you know, to eventually goad him in. And, you know, I don't think he's going to take kindly to that long trip and being contained like that when he's had a lot of freedom. So hopefully it's a very strong and solid trailer.
Yeah, that's good.
On the lighter side, has anyone seen the new progressive commercials about it's the kind of like the professor guy teaching 40-year-olds how to become their parents?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious. Very good marketing.
And that's also true. It's just too funny.
Beats Gordo rubbing his ass all over the couch.
That wasn't progressive.
He woke up early. Nobody cares.
Steve, that's going to be your official mascot.
The one I like, Chris, is no, Dad, no. It's a show, not a program.
When Robin was riding to Alabama, he took a picture of a town called Gordo and sent it to me.
No.
I guess I got to own it, man. You remember that, Robin?
Doesn't need to know your name.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, good times, good times. Oh, man,
so
everybody's
Steve, how's
quiet.
How's that recall election going for your governor?
That's not going, as far not as going. I know. No,
yeah, that's too bad. He needs it. You need to.
Well, no, the only one that's going is the one for Gavin Newsom, who doesn't need it.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
It would seem. It's a good point, Chris, because it seems that both sides are pissed off at him. It seems like now's the time to yank him, but the fear is, who is he going to replace him with?
Yeah. Well,
he might get some tool off the, you know, off the chart, some freaking Nazi or something, man.
Magic Mushroom Marjorie step right.
She may run, yeah. She's got experience. She was a congresswoman. No cabinet positions, but, you know. Jeez. That was something else, isn't she?
She's one of the real cookies.
Well, the thing that
she's
really...
She's going to be mainstream in about 5 years. She's going to be mainstream Republican.
Yeah, she is. Give it 10 and she'll be too liberal.
Yes.
You know, kind of like you couldn't elect Ronald Reagan now. But as far as the California recall is concerned, the one thing I saw that just gave me the liver quivers was this idea that Caitlyn Jenner has decided she's going to run that she might run for governor. Oy vey, please no. Just no. 1,000 times no.
Stranger things have happened, Robin.
Oh, it's terrible. Mentioning Reagan, it's really neat when ideas that we've been talking about for years get validated on, you know, multimillionaire TV. And one of my favorite people who shows up on my Filthy Morning Habit is Anand Giridharadas. Good progressive, great ideas, really lays them out well. And lo and behold, today he was talking about the fact that America changed when Ronald Reagan became president and the idea that the Republicans were so successful at spreading that government is bad. And as I watched that, I was like, I could swear I've been saying that for about the last 5 years. Hi, Anand.
Longer than
that. Hey, buddy. Now, I'm sure he came to it independently.
So, speaking of millionaires, Bernie Madoff has escaped his prison sentence.
The will matured. That's that's what the estate lawyers say. The will matured.
Wait, what's that?
What I like is he tried to get out.
Bernie Madoff died
because of COVID.
Oh, he did. He's gone.
They wouldn't let him out.
but he died of renal failure.
And, you know, remember the Bernie Madoff rule. On Wall Street, you can rip off ordinary people all day long, every day, and twice on Sunday. But do not rip off the rich people, because they will fuck you up.
Yeah, good point. He was supposed to be Donnie's new roommate.
Aw, damn.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I shed precisely zero tears at that story.
Can't waste them. Can't waste them on him.
Not worth it.
Oh, Robin?
Oh, yes, Sparky?
I posted a link to a video of John Bertivo's Travis posted of the harassment by their neighbor.
I saw that. That was just infuriating.
But Bernadette came on Sunday on the Blue Dot Family and brought up our little group of lawyers and suggested that they come over here to get some advice. But I think they've gone and they filed for a restraining order or something.
I hope they did. It's about time. And if law enforcement doesn't law enforcement doesn't do something to give John and his family some relief, goddamn. But it's Texas, and it may all be cronies.
Yeah, how maggoty do you think they are, though?
Plenty maggoty. Yeah.
And the way they like to yell at, and then they roll coal in front of the house and take off like
little terrorizing the poor little donkey. Though I mean it. What kind of shitty human being is that?
Super shitty.
And Texas being Texas, I'm pretty sure there's still a law on the books there about worrying the animals. And at least in West Virginia, they use that word, worrying the animals.
And is that a misdemeanor?
Yeah.
Well, the next time I talk to him, if he might join the back porch on Friday. I'll try to remember that.
It's worth looking up in the Texas code. I don't guess we've got any Texas lawyers in the family community congregation.
Travis,
well, I'd be wondering whether or not he'd be legally entitled to protect his animals.
Oh my God! In Texas.
Necessary.
Last I checked, Texas is the only state in the union where you can officially use deadly force in defense of property. That's why, like, if a repo guy comes to take your car and he's come to the wrong place and your car's not under repo, you can shoot him. Yeah. Go, Darlene.
Okay, so I don't know what to say to this. My niece wants to talk to me, and she's asking, okay, she's 13, very progressive. She's asking me, and it's clearly in relation to the trial. So she's asking if there was 100% evidence of a murder being caught on film. That person does not deserve a trial and should automatically be arrested. In other words, they don't deserve a trial here. Go ahead.
It's the civics. But it's the civics lesson. It's,
you know.
Yeah, but
everyone is you're well, hold off, because you also, you know, well, you know, that whole thing about you're innocent until proven guilty. If it's not photoshopped, what do I say to this kid? We all know he's guilty of doing what he did. He strangled the life out of someone in full view
But that, many that's witnesses. What the trial's for, Darlene, to show and prove that that video is not doctored and photoshopped.
Well, they can do that technologically.
Yeah, but I think the larger point, Darlene, is that you've had an excellent you've certainly got the knowledge base for it, and you've got an excellent opportunity to explain, because your niece's response is absolutely understandable when it is clear as the nose on your face. And everybody knows, why don't we just do something immediately? And the answer, and oddly enough, the answer to that comes from, or I'm reminded of something that happened years and years and years ago with a very dear relative of mine who would post things that said things like, you know, when a corporate CEO is found, is known to be guilty of corruption in China, they just take him out and shoot him. And that's what we need in America. And I love this relative. And I patiently explained that we really don't want that form of government, because that, you know, it's possible to make mistakes. But from a civic standpoint, you've got a great opportunity, Darlene, to talk about due process. And to talk about, if we had something like that, can you imagine how many more African-American people in this country would be killed on a daily basis? And in fact, we have had that in the past, and those are called lynch mobs.
I'd also like to bring something else up here.
Hold on, Roger.
If I'm driving down a road and doing 85,
Roger,
and get a ticket.
Hold on. Darlene was about to... Go, Darlene.
Well, I do want to hear what Roger has to say. But where was there... there was no due process for those that were lynched.
No. There was damn sure no due process for George Floyd.
And we can't even agree in our current Congress to pass a law that says that lynching is wrong and that it's illegal. So I guess if it's there in full view, I mean, I think it's considering how technology has advanced. I mean, is anyone saying that he did not kill George Floyd?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that the expert witness today, right?
Yeah.
Well, no. Wait. All right. Well, maybe it's a different expert witness.
Yeah, he said he died. He died of heart failure. Basically, he said that George Floyd would have died if he'd never even run across Derek Chauvin. It was his time.
And how does that differ from giving equal weight to things that we know are false? How does that differ than what the media does?
Both-siderism.
The both-siderism, exactly. I didn't want to say specifically both-siderism, but I guess it can relate to that.
Well,
these are real questions.
They
when
are.
We all see it. Witness.
All right. Let me finish on this one. If I'm driving down the highway and a cop is coming the other way and gets me on radar, and I'm doing 85 miles an hour, driving down Highway 101, pulling a trailer where the speed limit, actually I was doing closer to 90, and the speed limit is 55 with the trailer. And the cop pulls me over, and he says, man, I've never seen anybody driving that fast with the trailer, but I'm going to be nice to you, because if I do it for 30 miles over, you're not going to get a reckless driving. But if I do it for 35, you'll have a reckless driving. And he writes me a ticket. And I accept it, and I continue on. Now, I have the choice to go to a courtroom and attempt to talk my way out of it, or I have the ability to accept the fine and pay it. In the case of Derek Chauvin, or whatever the hell his name is, he had the ability, when he got the ticket, i.e. charged with murder, that he could have accepted it, pled guilty, and done his time in jail the way I did with paying my ticket. But in our system, we do have the ability
to go before a, quote, jury of our peers, unquote, and attempt to argue our way out of it. And so I think to your 13-year-old niece, you start talking about the process, and an honorable man would accept the penalty for what they have done, and a dishonorable man is going to fight it. And this dishonorable man is trying to fight it, and he's trying to con a whole lot of people. And historically, it doesn't always work, but historically in this country, we trust it to a jury of our peers to separate out the bullshit and give him the sentence he deserves.
So, but Robin, you've also said, and I agree, that we're basically expecting that he will be let off. I don't think that's me.
No.
What's that?
That's a Ring security camera. I know that sound. But that's not me. But what happens if the so-called jury of his peers, and there's so many variables here, let him off. Then what? And again, I know I'm going to be slammed. Huh?
Then we have another summer like we had last summer.
I know I'm going to be slammed on this, but because I was slammed on the whole thing about, the insurrection on January 6th, but these are thought experiments.
Sure.
Which, Robin, you always encourage. You encourage on your program. So this is a thought experiment. And I know I'm not the only person that has mentioned this. It's like, look, if it's caught on video tape and it's clear what happened and there's nothing's been doctored, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. So it's very, and of course I'm going to tell my niece, you know, that the law is not necessarily logical, but when you have something like this and we're giving this airtime to bullshit, I mean, there was another, I think Chris mentioned today's assault expert witness. I think there was an expert witness the day before that basically also countered, like, was not a very good witness for Derek Chauvin.
Do you know if he was a paid expert witness, Darlene? The one today was. Randy was talking about.
I don't know. I don't know about the other one. The other one was medical, I think. Wasn't he that he was a medical?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if he was paid or not.
But you know, my niece is a kid. Kids cut to the chase. They're very logical. Before this society has ruined their brains, you know, it's like she has a point. I don't know how to answer that question without coming off. I agree with her in some respects. And again, it's really tough for me to answer this question and in a way that is honest, because she'll see right through it, like where I'm really feeling what I'm going to tell her.
Hey,
you know?
Yeah, no.
How do you explain something this complex?
But if you, it's not, I mean, it's complex, Darlene, but it's also simple, because that way lies madness. That way lies the end of governance. And, you know, just listening to you talk right now, I've been thinking
specifically how so,
because but the purpose of a trial, is to find out if what we think we know is actually true.
And what we see.
And that's why getting this water muddying about, you know, how much fentanyl that was in his system. And this isn't just, and I'm not detracting or taking away or minimizing or diluting. But practically every trial, civil or criminal, is a question of, did we see, or was what was seen what really happened. There are jury and psychological studies out the gazoo of people. Any trial lawyer will tell you that so-called eyewitness testimony is extremely troublesome, because you can have three people see the same event.
Uh-huh.
And they will give you three separate descriptions of what happened.
Right.
And that's why we have a jury. The jury system evolves in merry old England, because you did not, you know, the Court of Kings.
I know this.
I know all this stuff,
but there's a video. So how are there three different people telling us what happened here that was different?
Because there's no video of what's going on inside his body.
So then you are buying into the possibility that he died from a pre-existing condition.
No, I'm not.
Seriously?
No, I'm not buying into that.
I certainly am not.
I'm not buying into that. But people get to, you know, a jury of one's peers gets to make the call. And what I was going to say a moment ago is that I recognize, you know, I've said so many times that when you go to law school, they take your little brain out of your little skull and they mince it up and they pour it back in, and it's an entirely different brain. I am conditioned. Exactly. I am conditioned, darling, to to anybody who's spent those 3 years is to immediately recoil in horror from the idea of, well, you know, you're guilty. Let's take you out behind the barn and shoot you. Or, you know, not even, or you're guilty. Let's take you to prison for the rest of your life, and that's the end of it.
Nobody's saying that, but you also have to understand, too, technology has advanced. The law is clearly slow to change. And I'm kind of taking, like, I'm trying to step outside that.
Yeah.
And look at it from a different angle here. Like, before my brain was...
You're
rewired.
Trying to not be a lawyer.
It's hard to do, Chris.
Well, clearly the way things open for me tonight, yeah, it's probably yeah, you know, because I'm being bashed for being a lawyer. But it's like it's a thought experiment, and to me, you know, you're saying, look, Robin, you've said it. Don't believe your lying eyes.
Yeah.
Don't believe your lying.
And that's the entirety of this defense.
So the system is going to gaslight us. So the system is going to continue to gaslight us. We know what we saw.
Can I play devil's advocate,
you know, and
at one point?
So it's like, I don't know how to answer this child.
Can I give you an example? If half the country had its druthers, had its way, they would immediately go arrest Hillary for eating babies' faces. Because she's obviously guilty of that.
No, but listen, we have video.
Now, there's no video.
We have video. Okay?
Yeah,
we're seeing it there. You know, it's like slam dunk, hands down. It's like...
But Q was a slam dunk, hands down, for all these people.
Chris, I don't think that's a valid comparison.
Okay.
Because it's the presence of the video, and I mean, what I'm getting from you, Darlene, is the presence of what appears to be unequivocal video that makes the difference here.
What's the point of the body cams?
Well, I mean, and frankly, you know, I think we can extend this conversation, Darlene, into Officer Potter. I mean, she yells, taser, 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 and then shoots Dante Wright. And she's being charged with second-degree manslaughter, which is negligent homicide. Why does she get a trial? There's no defense.
Well,
because of the nature of what negligence is. It is the failure to, it is the doing or the failure to do something that a reasonable, prudent police officer in the same or similar circumstances would not or would do. And so, you know, in her resignation letter, she said, well, you know, I thought it was the best for me and the best for me and the best for the department and whatever it was, she said. But by the same token, is she going to, it's some of this relative to police issues is cultural, because she's going to have a free police lawyer. The cop union is going to pay for the best lawyering that is available in and around Brooklyn, in Minnesota. And they'll probably take it all the way to trial when there is no doubt. There is no reasonable doubt that she, I don't care how scared she was. I don't care. It's negligence.
Robin, we've all had mind farts. Isn't it possible it was the worst, most deplorable mind fart on the planet?
Sure it is. But that's still negligence, yeah. Steve.
Oh, absolutely. Of the worst kind.
You know, all liability
of the
is
worst kind,
you know,
because they're supposed to carry on the non-dominant side, all that.
But her answer,
to be empathetic and put, but 26 years on the force, little long in the tooth. I mean, they could have just been the most horrible mind fart on the planet. It's horrible for
but
everybody.
But mind farts are negligence, and they're still punishable. This isn't, you know, right, this isn't killing him with malice aforethought. This is you fucked up, and saying I didn't mean to is not a defense, because all liability is based upon fault. Did you shoot him? Did you kill him? It is your fault.
A red light is a green light and run that light. Yeah, I'm still culpable for that accident. I hear what you're saying, but.
So bringing that back is horrible. You're right, Steve. So bringing that back to Derek Chauvin, what's the correlation here that you're trying to get at, Robin? Because obviously all they have to do is introduce some sort of reasonable doubt, as unreasonable as it might be.
Well, but wait, there's some nuance there. And I know we hate nuance in these situations. I do.
Everything's nuanced. Yeah.
But the nuance here is, and I guarantee you, it will be in the jury's instructions. Mm-hmm. The explanation of what reasonable doubt means in Minnesota. And it means it has similar meaning. Damn it, I screwed up, and somebody was on the stress line. Please call back. I'll bring you back in. But in the jury's instruction, the judge will say, this has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. The definition of reasonable doubt is not any doubt. You can't just say, I doubt it, and you're done. The doubt has to be reasonable. And this will be, you know, when we get around to the arguments, when a lawyer is arguing reasonable doubt on behalf of their client in a criminal case, you know they know their client is fucking guilty. And, is it reasonable to doubt that he actually died because it was his time? But all of that evidence has been was pre-refuted in the presentation of the prosecution's case. The one expert who would not let the defense lawyer get away with saying that there was a reasonable doubt. He said, no. Had he not been choked to fucking death, he'd still be here. And that was just that's when the defense lawyer goes home at the end of the day and goes, Jesus Christ, why did I ask that question? I suck.
Circling back to the taser incident, shouldn't intent come into play, though? Somebody's intent.
No, not in negligence. Negligence is not a question of intent.
Wow. We're all human, Robin. Fuck, we've all made huge mistakes that we regret.
Yeah, sure we have. How many of us shot an innocent black man as a result of it?
God, I can't think of anything more horrible. No.
How many pages the instructions?
Oh, Jesus, it'll go on for hours.
Over 40. And again, I don't mean to, but you have to question. You know, you have to question the system. You know, when I think it was Steve from Georgistan who said a jury of his peers. What are his peers? How many black people?
Citizens tried and true. And the his peers refer to the defendant, not the victim.
Yeah. Correct.
Minnesota cop is goddamn lucky that bullet didn't go through and kill the girlfriend next to the kid that she shot.
And how many black people are on that jury? I just was
2, 3.
It's an imperfect
and
system.
How many jurors are there, Robin?
12.
Okay. I rest my case.
but that is the function of the jury. That's a function of the jury selection process. You get some peremptory strikes
one of those variables. We have to ask these questions, and this may be looked at, you know, now as what I'm saying is this is stupid as fuck, but we don't know.
No, I don't think it's stupid at all.
What might be stated 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 100 years from now? We don't know. You know, so it's, again, technology is changing and improving. And
why should benign moving violations be ticketed? You know, it circles back to my point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Take a picture.
Yeah, and you know, you can make that argument with George Floyd. He was a resident of he was a local resident. Where was he going to? Okay, he runs. You know what? You can outrun one cop car. You can outrun two. You know what you can't outrun? Fucking radio.
Yeah, they know where he lived.
Yeah.
And if you look at it at what happened to George Floyd, there was a lot of time involved in that whole scenario, that whole situation. I mean, there was a lead up to it where they were trying, you know, more video, more things keep coming out, you know, when he was behind the wheel of the car, when they were trying to ram him into the back of the police, the vehicle. And then what happened for the 8-9 minutes that led to his demise. What seemed to happen with Dante Wright seemed to happen in a far more compressed time frame.
Yeah, and it was desperate where there was no need of desperation.
And there was no need, and it was like, what was going on?
It's what happens in the cop mind. It's awful. And I need to send out a quick thank you. Thank you so kindly to Yuki. We are done with fundraising, and we actually covered a little bit of tomorrow, which was wonderful and takes a huge weight off my mind. Thank you so kindly, Yuki. So very much indeed. That is immensely helpful. I got a couple of notes along the way. Brendan says, isn't it that uniquely peculiar American right, the right to due process, as unpopular or scummy the defendant appears to be? Yeah, but it's not unique. Everything we have comes from Mary Oldie Engeland. Ideas like due process arise after horrible mistakes were made with things like the Court of Star Chamber. And the Court of Star Chamber gets together, and all the judges are there, and they go over the evidence. Maybe they haul in some tortured witnesses to do some confessing. And then the judges get together, the defendant doesn't even know he's being tried, and they say, yeah, he's guilty as fuck. And then they go and grab him and, you know, slit his throat and dump him in the Thames. That happened.
Yeah.
In Europe, more broadly, women who bathed newborn babies or who recommended cleaning sick people were fucking burned at the stake for being witches on nothing but supposition. Everybody saw her. Everybody heard her say that that his wound should be bathed. That's witchcraft. Goodbye. And so, you know, due process is something that they tried to reinforce because they had a long and the framers tried to reinforce because they had a long and ugly history of what happens when there wasn't any. And of course, you know, it's the 14th Amendment that establishes the right to due process and extends it to the states. Because we did have trials like that. You all, I mean, we've seen the, okay, Shane, the movie Shane. Pick up the gun. Mister, I don't want no trouble. Pick up the gun. Dude picks up the, everybody's watching. He picks up the gun. Jack Palance blows him away and says, y'all saw he had a gun.
Uh-huh.
Two-gun Sid Hatfield, who protected minors and their wives and children at Matewan and killed a couple of those Baldwin thugs I mentioned earlier in the process, was murdered in cold blood by Baldwin thugs on the steps of the McDowell County, West Virginia courthouse. Everybody saw it happen. Y'all saw it.
Hey, Robin, what
they
about
walked.
They
walked.
What about the murder? What about the murder that happened in Portland over the summer of the supposed Antifa person?
Yeah.
And watched.
And they watched. Well, everybody. Yeah, I mean, everybody. There's video. There was video. They saw him kill the right wing prick. And so then the authorities went up and blew him away. Everybody saw it happen.
So it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot in our justice system, which is really a sad thing.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, and this is where the talent of the lawyers comes in. You know, everybody.
Well,
I mean,
hold off. You know, and the money.
Sure. the money buys the money buys the talent.
Dollars.
Sure. Right.
It's interesting. Darlene. It's interesting that you bring up the concept of everybody saw it happen, because our whole history is everybody saw it happen. John Adams very unpopularly defended the British soldiers who committed murder in the Boston Massacre. Everybody saw it happen. But he said they're entitled to a vigorous defense. And he was a good enough lawyer that he got them off.
Right. There's a technological aspect to this that didn't exist back then or when the, with the Salem witch trials and
I know. Glenn in San Diego made a really good point. For those interested in how eyewitness accounts of events can vary, I urge anyone who has not seen the film or remember it to watch the iconic film Rashomon. There have been many copycat versions made in the ensuing years, some of them pretty good, but to my mind, Rashomon is still the best. And that's a great observation. Because everybody, because it's not so much vision as perception. Perception is everything. And that's why cops testify when cops testify, they wear their uniform to court, because people, juries, perceive that uniform to be something. That's why when Oliver North testified before Congress in the Iran-Contra hearings, he wore his Marine greens. Because the entire nation was watching, and it was all a matter of, and then he's wearing his Marine green. I was only doing my duty.
Right.
It's perception and it's manipulation. I really think with your niece, Darlene, you've got a chance to talk about the system. To talk about ideas of equal justice, because they are ideas, they are things we strive for. They are not things that we have achieved and always will achieve. Yeah. And, justice is imperfect.
You can let her know the system is imperfect, but right now it's the best we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of sucky.
Right. It's practice versus ideals. Crap. Yeah.
And unfortunately, of course, the conversation can and will continue in my absence, but I have to stop the broadcast part of this because, God, I got one more errand to run before tomorrow. I'm going to miss you guys so much. This just
good
sucks.
Luck.
I'm going to miss you
too, Robin.
I still have hope. Maybe you'll come through. You'll feel better than you think you are.
If Agnes tells me I don't sound like Sylvester, if Agnes tells me I don't sound like Sylvester the cat, I'll be back as soon as I'm not miserable.
Can I make one announcement?
Yes, please.
I've told Asa to use the same link from today on Friday. So if anybody has joined the group already, when I ring the group on Friday at 2 o'clock Pacific time, you'll get a ring if you're online.
And if I'm up to it, I'll wander in. I mean, I would love it.
Well, you're going to get a ring too because you're already in the group.
Right.
Good.
So, I don't feel obligated.
Oh no. Well, sure. And I will not come back here with a belly full of opioids and, you know, I love you, man. No. No, I only do that on election nights.
Yeah. What a night.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that led to a lot of conversations.
Oh, I can well imagine. Let's not.
Conversation radio.
It's an austerity. It's on a podcast, isn't it? Or did you not post that?
Yeah, I didn't post that.
Oh, of course not.
Good move, Rob.
But we heard it.
Never happened.
Yeah, but you don't have to record
that
Friday.
Didn't happen. Yeah.
And so thanks, everybody. It's been a great conversation. I'm so sorry to whoever it was that called in on the stress line. I apologize 1,000 times over. I get wrapped up in the conversation, and the phone's sitting there, and it just drives me nuts. And I apologize for that. But thank you all. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
It gets back to the whole truth serum theory.
Yeah, just stop that. That's not helping. But I will. I hope I'm back soon.
We and, do too, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Faith. Thank you. And thanks again to everybody who helped make the fundraising goal. And, you know, thank you so much. The back porch will continue in my absence after the broadcast ends. Just use the button there if you want to pop into Skype. Into the Skype group, use the button at headon.live. It's right there at the top of the page. Thank you to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. I cannot thank you all enough. And you've kept this program on the air for ages. I admit it. I'm a chicken. I'm a coward. And I don't like everybody. This happens every day all over. I just hate it. And it's kind of embarrassing and, you know, whatever. But thank you all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky occupying the chair of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thank you, Faith. Yeah, Yuki, that's so true. No one looks forward to dental surgery. And get pulled over on the highway, since we've talked about that all night long. Get pulled over on the highway for going too slow. Hey, buddy, where are you going, the dentist? As soon as I'm sober enough to do it, I'll post that everything's okay. I will be focused on getting back behind the microphone. Thank you, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This is a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you can. Wear your gloves, wear your mask, double mask, don't touch your face, wash your hands, maintain your social distance. For God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "What? You mean that was satire when you was saying you was a black supremacist?" Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. God, I'll be back as soon as I can. Thanks, everybody. Later.